Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are here tonight. Welcome to the show. I'll be right there with you in just a moment. All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for being with us tonight. Wow, awesome. We're here to minister to you personally tonight. Everybody tonight will be prayed for. And part of what we do on Wednesday nights these days. So if you haven't been listening in a while, we do no talking. Once we start ministering to people, there's no communication much, just a quick prayer request maybe, that kind of thing going on. And then we pray and prophesy or just speak over your life, whatever we get from the Lord tonight. And we love doing that, as you know, so make sure and be in a, get in to that, get into the show and be a part of it, and get into some of that. Let's get some of that going on for you. All right. Let's see here. Welcome to the place tonight. Wow. Right. Okay. Let me do a couple things here. I'm in behind a little bit tonight. There we go. Okay. Awesome. Okay, really good to be here tonight. Thank you for being with us and being a part of PGN. We thank you for your prayers and for the, you know, believing that we are headed somewhere very interesting and very powerful. God's about to reveal himself in some really cool ways. And we are glad that everyone here is in agreement with that and wants to see it happen. Right? That's what I want. I know that's what you want too. So we're going to believe God for that to happen. That is the will of God for him to show us what's happening and to reveal to us what's going to happen in the future and begin to believe that. It gives us lots of time and lots of information beforehand to prove that he's speaking to us about things. And when that happens, then we have less reason to not believe him, right? So it's a difficult thing, really. You know, people make it so, I think, they approach it the wrong way, and I've done my share of approaching things the wrong way, I guarantee you. But I think that we've approached faith and God and in a little bit of a hyper way to where we are not looking into the Word of God enough. Two great men and women of God, and the struggles that they went through and the battles that they went through. And sometimes we don't give people time and patience to, you know, discover that God really is going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you, as he told Abraham. Abraham had a hard time believing that. I mean, God told him. We've read it many times in Scripture, in Genesis, and God told him that several times, and enough times, and then he proved it to him time and time again, even though Abraham didn't, you know, understand it. He certainly didn't yield to it. He didn't go, oh, okay, yeah, and just take it from there. No, he battled and he struggled, and God was merciful and gracious in the Old Testament, where he took a man he had called and told him, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. Anybody who messes with you, I'm going to mess with them. I'm really going to protect you. I'm going to bless you. And so, you know, he did it when a famine hit, and he goes to Egypt, and Pharaoh, of course, just like he predicted, like man predicted that they would want his wife, and he, you know, didn't trust God. Instead, he yielded to it, and yet at the same time, God took it and used even his somewhat failure and lack of trusting God to protect him, and God turned it into a blessing for him. And so that's what God does. If he wants, God wants to convince you of something that he's really means what he's saying, he's going to let you struggle with believing. He knows that you're going to eventually. You struggle with it. You believe, yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief, and being honest about it, being real about it. And Abraham did it in a major way several times, but two specific ways dealing with Sarah. He did it with Abimelech, and he did it with Pharaoh, and same thing. And so, yet, God just turned around and cursed those who cursed him, and even though, you know, they were really basically innocent, and God showed Abraham in a kind of a out-of-the-way way, in an extraordinary way, that I'm going to protect you, man. Yeah. And I don't think Abraham understood what the protection, what the big protection thing was about. I don't think Abraham thought he was that big of a deal. You know, I don't think he understood at first, as most of us don't understand at first, how big our calling is to us. And, you know, a great calling, most everybody thinks that when they get born again that God's got something great for them, right? And we do. God's got something great for everyone. Well, how can God have something great for everybody, Randy? Not everybody can be great. Well, what is great? What is great? What was great for Abraham? What is great for you? What is great for me? Well, great is God's will. That's great. Whether it's in the eyes of men, a small thing may not be a big production, or it could be the biggest production that you've ever seen. It doesn't really matter what it is, but because it's God's will for you and you accomplish that, whatever that thing is, it is great. So we all have this thing, and people think, well, everybody's in vain. They all think they got something great from God. How come they all have something great from God? Because great from God is his will being done in your life. And the reason it's so great is because when everybody does the will of God, it all fits together into this major thing that God puts something together that's just shocking. Why? Because people decided that what was great for them was the will of God. Even if it didn't appear to be big, it appeared to be like a little toe thing or a little toenail or a little hair on somebody's head, and not really much of a hair, just one hair. I'm not that important, but that one hair is important. That fingernail, that toe is important. Try chopping one of your toes off and see what it's like. You know, maybe the little toe. I've had friends that gotten the big toe chopped off, you know, through an accident, and they never walked the same after that. You know, just one toe. So if you're the one toe, or you're some little something that may not be showing up much, what's great about what God's called you to do is the fact that it's from him, that he is, that you have made it into God's purpose for your life. That within itself, friend, is great, and it is great for you. In other words, if God's greatness for you, if God's perfect will for you is to raise two children and have a husband and a family and have two children and live in a mediocre lifestyle, it's not all that great. If that's what God has designed for you, and you accomplish that with thankfulness and gratitude, friend, that is great. You might wake up one day and go, man, I got saved just today. I feel like something great can happen to me. And all you may do is something that may appear regular in men's eyes. But in God's eyes, when you accomplish that, friend, that is great. And you feel great about it. That's why doing God's will is what makes us feel like we are important. And it's important that you feel important. But important is how big or little your job is. It's the fact that we're doing that job for God. Whatever it is he has us do, however little it is, or however big it is, it doesn't matter. In between, if you accomplish that, that is, in the eyes of God, you will be getting the same trophies from God as somebody who conquered the world and was doing God's will, and somebody who raised a couple of kids, and that's all they, quote, all they did. That's all they do, and they get the same trophy that the guy, because they both accomplished the will of God 100%. Isn't that awesome? I got that today. I got that while I was out walking around today. I just went, oh, my God. I guess I had to write that down as fast as I could, because it was absolutely amazing. And I'm going, dear Jesus, you know, because I've heard people all my life, yeah, I feel like God's got something really great for me. And they think of great as something that they think what somebody else did was great, and they thought that was great. So if it's not great like that, then it's not really great. If it's lesser than that, they struggle and fight and try to do better and fight their way up, trying to be like that thing that they think is great. And God looks at great as doing his perfect will. And if that's being single the rest of your life and doing nothing but read your Bible and pray for people, and nobody ever even knows it, and when you accomplish that, when it comes to trophy time, when it comes to reward time, you're going to be standing right next to those people that conquered the world for Jesus. Yeah, you will be standing beside them. Why? Because you did the perfect will of your Father. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So that's why the Bible says, do not compare yourselves among yourselves. Get your eyes on Jesus and what God's will is for your life, and do that and that only, and you will be recognized as those who did much, much, in the world's eyes, greater works than you did. But in God's eyes, just like the woman who gave two mites, in his eyes, she was more important and giving more and doing more than the people who gave millions. Friend, we got to change our perspective. I'm changing mine. I mean, I feel I got some great things in my life, you know what? But I'm gonna try to do my best to not look at what great is compared to what I think great is, instead of what God says great is. And great is accomplishing his will, accomplishing his purpose. That's what great is. That's what awesome is that. And that alone. And if we look for what great is, other than that, any other thing than the will of the Father, well, then we're going to be miserable. We're going to be thinking, I haven't reached my great accomplishment. I'm not making great accomplishments. But friend, if all you do is be single all your life and read your Bible and pray for others, and you barely make a living, and that's what God has you do, and he's chosen you to do that, you're going to be, in his eyes, awesome. And he's going to say, hey, if it wasn't for this person who stayed single, who you know, Paul the Apostle was single, he chose to just pray and intercede for people and read the Bible and pray and intercede for people and listen to me. That's what I designed him to do, and he did it perfectly. He did it so beautifully. And in my eyes, saith the Lord, he will be up there with those who conquered kingdoms and who rule cities in the eyes of God. Friend, it's not important to how big we think we're supposed to get. Listen, we all get caught up into this. We get a word from some prophet or some whatever, or we get a dream and a vision about how we're going to be well known. We got some great purpose. Well, that's awesome. But what are you going to be well known for? For what? For something you think is well known for? Important, well-known for a person is well-known for that thing, whatever that thing is? I don't think so. You know what? Something simple. You may be called to something simple. It may look simple. It may not look like much. But at the right time, in the right place, you're going to find yourself going, oh, my God, that simple little thing that I thought wasn't that big of a deal, all of a sudden was needed. It became huge. It became everything everybody was looking for. And I was the one whom God used to put it all together, thinking it was just my little dream and my little corner and not much to it. Well, friend, Joseph had a huge dream, a huge vision. And right away, of course, he's thinking like we would think. Man, I'm going to be the head dog around here. I'm going to be the head man. I'm going to be the head dude. I am the dude. My father loves me. You know, and just like, whoa. And so what did God do? Right away, he started preparing him by knocking him down, putting him out, taking him away from his family, destroying his reputation among men so that he would look to having one opinion about who thought what he was thought of by people, what he was thought of by God, thinking only one thing, what God thought about him. And it wasn't important what, and it was the opposite with him. He had a great vision, and he did have a great purpose. He ended up having a great purpose. He ended up ruling with Pharaoh, but to prepare him for that, God let him be destroyed in the eyes of people. I mean, he was the kid on the block. All of his brothers were just not favored by Joseph's father. They weren't favored by him, but Joseph was. And he knew he's got it going on. And so what did God do? Yeah, took him down into the pit and taught him that there's only one person you need to be thinking about being important for, and that is the Lord. So while he was in prison, when nobody could see it much, nobody knew what was going on, his brothers thought he was dead, his father thought he was dead, nobody knew what was going on in his life. It was injustice and unjust what went on with him. And it's like God hid him out in a corner, in a hidden place where nobody could see, where no people were going, oh, Joseph is so wonderful. You know, he's so well-known. No, he's in prison. He may be well-known in prison, but it's not that great of a deal to be well-known in prison. You see what I'm saying? It was God put him in this place to where he had to get his eyes on who he was going to be important for. His brothers, he told them, you're going to be honoring me because I'm going to be the one who's favored here. And it was true. Who was he trying to impress now? Well, God and God alone. And when you and I get our eyes on who we are impressing and who we're trying to fulfill their dreams and their purpose, which was God's dream and God's purpose that he showed him his dream for him, when you and I accomplish that, which is death-defying experience, only looking, God looks at us, how God wants us to be. Just him and I, what you do in the closet, even though Joseph was in a prison with probably a lot of people, he was in a closet. What was he going to do in the closet where nobody really knew him? Nobody wants to know what's going on in the prison. Nobody wants to know what's going on. There's a bunch of rejects. They're a bunch of no goods. They're a bunch of liars and thieves and rapers. Thieves, the bums of life, and he's watching over them. There's not much glory in that. And God made sure that to see that Joseph would do good among these people, the lower grades, if you will, of society, to see if he would do good unto God in his name. To these people who had nothing, who were nothing, and Joseph did it unto God, and God was with him, and God blessed him. And because of that, it was the greatest training that he could have ever have had. Wow, what an amazing story. What an amazing thing. Joseph was one of the most shrewd people ever. One of these nights, we're going to talk about how shrewd he was. We're going to talk about that. And it is going to shock you. If you haven't read the story lately, go read it a few times of how he did during the famine, how he worked things for Pharaoh when the famine was worst and the Egyptians had no food, how he dealt with that. Go read that. Get your mind fresh on that. And I'm telling you that. If I have to say this, thus saith the Lord, go read that account and read it and absorb it, because what that's going to tell you is what's going to happen in the future. Okay? So when I first looked at some of this stuff and had my image of Joseph and thought I understood Joseph, I'm telling you, friend, I mean, it was shocking what I saw and what went on. and how it looked like Joseph was even bitter against his brothers. When his brothers finally came to Egypt, he treated them like dogs, it looked like. He treated them like they were spies, like they had come to do something wrong to Egypt, even though he knew who they were. And that was the big question was, who were they now? Who were they now? And Joseph began a process of testing them, trying them over and over and over again, putting pressure on them of death, imprisonment, because he was testing them, friend, to see if they had changed. Sometimes you need to test people to see if they've changed. And if they haven't changed, it changes everything when people don't change. But when people change, that changes everything too. Joseph was extremely shrewd. He had grown so wise with God's wisdom. Potiphar loved him. Even when he was really young, Potiphar loved him because he was shrewd. He was a shrewd man. When he went into prison, he was a shrewd man. That's why they let him run the prison, because he was extremely businesslike and shrewd. Oh, it's amazing. And you don't see it in the prison much because you don't really hear much about what he did there. But the fact that they let him run the prison and Potiphar let him run his household without even checking up on him. That's what he told. That's when Potiphar's wife tried to tempt him to go to bed with him, go to bed with her. He told her, he said, you know, your husband trusts me with everything, and even you. And I can't betray him. You know, he was dedicated to God. He was sold out. But yet at the same time, and the reason I'm telling you this, friend, you need to please listen closely. I'm not just saying this to be give something cool and different. I'm telling you this because the Lord is speaking to you, telling you, pay attention what the word of the Lord is. Pay attention what's being said. Pay attention because you're going to need it. In the future, in the very near future, you're going to have to understand why things go the way they go. And if you look at it like some of these people who prophesy what they think, what they would do if they were God, a lot of these people that prophesied about Trump were prophesying what they would do if they were God. They didn't have a clue what God was going to do. They prophesied what they thought they would do if they were God. In a positive thinking, this is what I would do if I was God. And guess what, friend? It wasn't right. Joseph had to stand alone. He stood alone. He began to understand that everywhere he went, and watch this, we're going to talk about some cool stuff tonight. Everywhere he went, even when he was at home with his father and his brothers, when his father spoiled him, favored him, the beautiful thing in some ways. He had his father, at least he had his father. Didn't have anybody else. His mother died. Had his father. And then all of a sudden, he was stripped of his father. Why did God allow it to happen? Because he wanted Joseph to learn to stand alone. Sometimes, friend, if God's going to make you great, to do something, whatever that great is, in Joseph's case, it was, a whole different thing than some of our stuff. But God had to put him in Potiphar's house with Potiphar's people, with a bunch of Egyptians who didn't believe in God and didn't know God. And he had to be alone because now he didn't have his father anymore. The only father he had was God. That was it. And he had to learn to depend on God and please God and do things in the eyes of God. Now God was the only person that he could really probably impress. Prison. And again, he's in a situation where he's all alone. He probably was the only righteous one there who didn't really belong there. He was probably the only one. I don't know. But he was alone to see what he would do when he was alone, when you're in your closet. What do you do in your closet when you're truly alone? What do you do? What's going on? Who are you looking to? Who are you trying to impress? Amen? And that Joseph was going to, he went through all this stuff too, and he struggled and he battled. And he came to the point to where the reason he became so shrewd was because he got to know God. He got God all alone to himself, and God got Joseph all alone to himself. And God taught him things that were amazing. And when you see him deal with his brothers, how he shrewdly dealt with them in a very crude manner, you need to go read it. I'm not just blowing smoke. Go read it. If you haven't read it in a while, go refresh your memory, because it ain't cute. And it looked like Joseph was bitter. It looks like Joseph is mad at them. It looks like Joseph is out to get them. And yet Joseph's motives were completely different than what we would think he would do. Oh, let's just get back with the family. It's going to be so nice to be back with the family again. Yes, if they ever show up here, I'm going to be the big guy now, and the big dude. I'm the big guy over here. And when they show up, it's going to be like, oh, there you are. You finally made it to town. Now you can bow down. You made it to town, so you can bow down. You made it to town. Now you can bow down and honor me, and I'll rescue thee. And it's like, you know, when he sees them, he's just going to like love them and open up the doors and reveal who he is and brag about, you know, look what God has done for me. You know, and the dream I had was really true. And now, brothers, be my family. I need you. But I've been alone all these years, just me and God. But that's not what he did. He didn't do the happy family thing. No, that's not what he did. Go read it for yourself. He put them under such pressure that they were going to go down big time, called them spies, called them, he knew, he could, because he knew them and what they had done to him before. He wanted to know, have they really changed or not? And so what he did was, he wasn't, oh, yeah, let's just forgive everybody. Everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. Let's just be nice to people. No, he ran them through the ringer, the double whammy ringer. Squeezed them like a whatever, like an olive in an olive press. And they started crying out, oh, all this has come upon us because of what we did to Joseph. And they said it in their Hebrew language, thinking that he didn't understand them. And yet when he heard them say that, he's going, yeah, I'm standing right here. Go ahead and tell me some more about that, how you are today. And he tested them and he tried them. Again and again. I mean, pressure, like, you know, he could have smashed them like a bug because he's the one who had the power to do it, just because he thought they were spies, and he made them think he was out to get them. He made them think that, and he did it on purpose because he's a shrewd person, extremely shrewd and smart, and had design. His motives were pure as a driven snow, but he was not flaky and, oh, let's just be nice to everybody. Yeah. Oh, let's just get together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. No, there was no Kumbaya. It was like, he made it look like, I'm going to kill y'all because y'all are spies and no good bunch of liars. And I'm going to make you prove to me you're not a bunch of liars. So tell me about your family. What about your father? What about your brother? Because he knew that they had a father and a brother. They wanted to know if he was still alive. Joseph didn't know. They said, yes, our father is alive, and we have a brother named Benjamin. And they just started rattling off all this information and didn't even know what they were doing. And he says, well, I'm going to hold one of your brothers prisoner until you prove to me you're not a bunch of liars and a bunch of spies, and that you're honest men. That's exactly what I say, honest men, until you bring back your brother. What's his name again? He knew his name. What's his name again? Benjamin, that one. That's, you have one more. Yeah.
bring me back Benjamin. And they're going, oh, my God, we can't bring back Benjamin because our father wouldn't even let us bring him the first time. They were in town without Benjamin because the father, Jacob, would not let them take Benjamin because they didn't want to lose. He didn't want to lose Benjamin. And they were freaking out. They were going like, oh, my God. And, you know, Joseph knew something was up. And he put the pressure on him. He wasn't going, kumbaya, my Lord. Oh, kumbaya. No, he was saying, come by, y'all. Y'all are going down if you don't bring me back that boy and prove to me that you're not a bunch of lying scumbags. That's the English language, but it was something like that. And I mean, they were freaking out. They were saying, oh, and right in front of him, because they didn't know he could understand in English, because he spoke to them in through an interpreter, right? So he would speak in Egyptian, whatever that was, and the Egyptian interpreter would speak it in Hebrew, and so they didn't know he could understand, and they started crying, oh, my God, all this is happening to us because of what we did to Joseph. I told you, brothers, not to do it to Joseph, but you did it. Now, you know, and they were all crying out, and Joseph was watching this, right? He's going like, man, these guys might have changed. And you would think he would just say, brothers, it's me, it's Joseph, and hey, come on. No, he just kept on scheming. He kept on scheming with a good reason. He was scheming with a good motive. He was scheming for a reason. He was checking them out. He was, you know, checking what was up them for sure and what was in their hearts, because he had to know who he was dealing with. Come through hell. It wasn't kumbaya. Most of us would be going, oh, brothers, it's, you know, look how great I am. I'm, oh, yeah, y'all can love me now because I'm great. Now I'm great. You can love me now. Now you can see that I'm really great, right? Like I told you. See, look, now can you love me? He wasn't about trying to get love from his kinfolk. No. He was wise. He was shrewd. And when you get your eyes open, friend, if you haven't already seen this, when you look at this and you read what really went on and what he didn't care what it looked like, he was taking them down and checking them out. And I mean, they were going like, why is this man being so hard on us? Why is he doing? And so it made them think. They kept thinking, it's because of what we did to Joseph. And it was Joseph doing it to them. And it caused them to open their hearts right there in front of Joseph without them knowing what they were doing. And Joseph started getting a little hope that they had really changed. Because, you know, sometimes if you don't try and test and put pressure on things as God guides, and just, oh, God, let's just forgive everybody. It's all so wonderful. You know, and sometimes it's better to check out their motives. Sometimes it's better to not let them know what's really going on, pressure them to the point where they're freaking out, flipping out. What are you, oh, my God, what's going on? To find out what's really in their heart. And that's one of the things God did with Israel many times. Deuteronomy 8, he says he drew them into the wilderness to prove, to see what was in their heart. He drew them into the wilderness to try them, to see what was in their heart. Sometimes God's trying to see what's in your heart, not to condemn you, but to show you. You still got some trash in there. Maybe you don't think it's trash. Maybe you've decided it's okay, that it's good because it ain't evil, it ain't bad in most people's eyes. But what about the eyes of God, friend? What about the eyes of God? How is God looking at your giving? How is God looking at your selling, or whatever you sell? What is God looking at the way you treat people? It's about what God looks at, and that's what Joseph had to deal with for many years. He only had one person to impress, and that was God. And because he did impress God, God was impressed with him. And the Bible says, and God was with Joseph in the prison. God was with Joseph at Potiphar's house, and he blessed him. Why? Because Joseph was now tested. The only person who was to impress was God. Sometimes God will do that to you, friend. I'm not saying it's fun. I'm not saying it's easy. But once you see something in your heart, I'm sure Joseph saw things in his heart that were not right, that were not good, that were not wise. And that's why he became so shrewd, wise as a serpent, but yet harmless as a dove, harmless as a lamb, harmless as a dove, wise as a serpent. Some people, when you talk about the serpent, they start going, oh, God, that's the devil. Oh, because sometimes what Joseph did looked like he was bitter, looked like he was getting back at them. He looked like, because he was being wise as a serpent, and yet his motives, he and only God knew. Him and God were the only ones who knew what his motives were, and they were pure as a driven snow. Oh, my God. Are y'all ready for this stuff? I don't think y'all can handle it. Some of you can. I'm not sure. Some of you may, you need to hang up and move on, because this is some heavy stuff. I'm not sure you're ready for this stuff. Well, you better get ready, right? I think most people are getting, we're all getting ready. I'm going to share things. I'm going to share things that are going to scare you. I'm going to share things to you that's going to look like the devil's doing something, and yet it's wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent. Some people don't even like to say the word serpent unless they're talking about the devil. But the Bible says, even Jesus said, being wise as a serpent. And Joseph was the king, not as much as Jesus. And Solomon was pretty good too. Talk about shrewd. Wow. Wise. Wise is not a stuck-up. Can I just tell you that? People think wise is like, it'd be nice to everybody all the time, because if you're not, they might not like you and everything. Right? But who's it about who you want to like you? God? Or people? Are you a man-pleaser? Most people are man-pleasers to a certain degree and don't even know it. I didn't know it. God had to open my eyes. He had to open my eyes. I've talked about that many times. You need to listen really close, please. We're going to go places that you may never return back to where you are because of where we're going to go. It's going to be amazing. God's going to make you shrewd, wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove. Hallelujah. Because if you're shrewd, but your motives and intentions are selfish, that is the devil. But the devil's motives are always, though he is shrewd, his intentions are evil. His motives. It's about our motives, our intentions, the Bible says. Dividing asunder between our motives and intentions. Why we do things, what we do. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's always something there we can look at. Oh, I don't have nothing. Man, you are so duped. It's unbelievable. That's why you're still where you are right now in some areas of your life. You're just trying to play kumbaya with everybody. Be wise as a serpent, and yet your motives need to be pure. Because if they're not, it will eventually be exposed. Mine, yours, who's ever. Wait till you see what Joseph, you need to go read it, what Joseph did when the Egyptians came and the famine had peaked out and the Egyptians were out of food. There was no, couldn't grow food, no rain, no nothing going on. They had to come and buy it from you know who, Mr. Joseph. Anybody ever even looked at that? If you get a chance, look at it, man. It'll blow your little mind. This man was shrewd. Oh, my God. It's like, well, the first time I read it, I'm going like, that sounds like the Antichrist. That's what I thought. I mean, to be honest with you. I thought, that sounds like what the Antichrist would do. I'm telling you. Yeah, just go read it. Maybe that'll get your intrigue up. That'll get your little excitement of trying to find out something cool. Just go read it and see what you think about it. And I finally got the true interpretation of what he was doing, but it was it took a while to get it. And my mind never even conceived some of this stuff before. I'm going like, my God, wow. So this old boy has been learning a thing or two. It's been going on for several years, but the process, once God tapped me into where we're going and what's happening, and I decided to say yes to him and not argue with him about it. Let it be done to me according to thy word. Then he started opening my eyes and showing me things I'd never seen before. So the things we share are treasures, at least to me. So we lay out these pearls. I hope you'll honor them. At least try to check them out. Because I guarantee you, when you do it, like me, it made me smart with God's smartness. It made me more wise. I'm not there yet, not anywhere close where we're going. But it made me a lot more tougher and being really tough with the right motive. Nobody knows your motive but you and God. If he hides it from people and they just think you're out to get them, they think you're out to... Oh, he's something's going on with Brother Randy. He's getting bitter and he's getting angry and he's like, and they don't have a clue what's really going on because God blinds their eyes. Condemnation's sake. But for open up your heart and let God show you things so you can be used in the hundredfold realm instead of the 15 and a half fold realm. That's what he wants for you, and that's what I want. That's what I'm believing God for. We don't need many of those. We don't need two or three of those. Two or three of those, one is really enough. Two or three, a lot can get done with two or three. And you have them, like what I'm talking about, walking in the hundredfold. We're not just talking about wealth and money either. We're talking about wisdom. And look into Solomon's life and see the shrewdness and the wisdom that he had. And most people would fight with him about over some of his, quote, wisdom. Oh, let's chop that baby in half. Oh, this is cool. This is sweet. Kumbaya, my Lord, that sword, oh, yeah. Kumbaya, my Lord, Solomon, yeah, he told him to get that sword. Just cut that baby in half, and we'll figure this thing out later on. Everybody's going, oh, you can just hear them gasping, oh, my God, they're going to kill the baby. Lifted up the sword, just like Abraham lifted up the knife to kill Isaac, similar, getting ready. And I don't even know if the guy who wielded the sword knew what he was doing. But Solomon did. And it took the breath away of some people. My God, I can't believe he's going to do that. He's going to kill the baby where nobody can have it. That's crazy. Person knew what was going on with Solomon and God. Because when you get alone with God and you live in the secret place, friend, people can't even guess where you're going with things. They think they know, oh, because they got it all figured out. But in all truth, they don't have a clue. Because when you live in the secret place, it is a secret, and God keeps it a secret. That's why I keep secrets. I'm getting better at it. It's always easy to keep secrets. But if you can't keep a secret, you know, I'm talking about a God secret, not some sinful hidden thing, but a God secret, then you're not going to be using the hundredfold. Just forget it. Just move on. Yeah, just be happy with your little 15.5% and be thankful you got that. Becoming shrewd is beyond your human reasoning. Human reasoning goes, oh, that poor little baby. Oh, my gosh. They're actually going to kill that baby. I can't believe it. I don't respect and honor Solomon like I used to. There's something wrong. He's gotten crazy. He's flipping out. And all of a sudden, the mother whose baby the baby really was, the mother of the baby, cried out, no, please, don't kill that baby. Give it to her. And Solomon goes, that's the real mother. And everybody went, oh, my God. Who would have ever thought of that? That's secret place thinking, friend. If you don't have secret place thinking, then you got, you're not shrewd. Neither am I. Got to be willing to do things that nobody understands. Everybody thinks you're being mean. Everybody thinks you're being cruel. And God will wait and see if you finish the job of doing what he says the way he says to it. And if you do, hundredfold is all yours, baby. All yours, brother. All yours. You can mock it. You can laugh. Friend, I'm telling you, this is where this is going. And there are going to be very few who are able to pass through that eye of that needle. Very few. They got too much of a big brain trying to figure out everything instead of doing like Mary did and say, let it be done unto me according to thy word. I don't have a man. If I don't need a man, I'm not going to try to figure that out. I'm trusting you, Jesus. I'm trusting you, Gabriel. I'm trusting you, God. She got awarded the hundredfold award. Woo! Man, some of the stuff in the Bible, my God, it's going to blow your minds. What's really going on in the secret place? All right, let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. And we're going to be talking about some of this stuff as we go along, hopefully sooner than later. As we talk about Solomon, we talk about Joseph. And I'm not talking about it just to teach something and to be, you know, a nice little kumbaya teacher. It is to teach people how to be shrewd, wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove. And when you got that mixed together, hundredfold is yours. If you don't, you're 15 and a half old. Be happy with that. Thank you for being with us tonight, and hopefully you're all doing well. And let's believe God to speak to us and let his love be made known to us. And may we enter into that secret place with God where it's just him and I. Yeah, you can be married. You can have a big family. You can have all kinds of things going on, people around you all the time. It's possible to do that and have your time with God, being alone with God. God can do it any way he chooses. Some people are chosen to be alone. Some people are chosen to not be alone. And yet they can all have their aloneness with God. Let him do it for you wherever you're at, whatever's going on with you. He will do it. It will be awesome. All right. Let's take our callers tonight. As you know, we're going to call you the first, your area code and the first 3 digits of your number. And then you're asked for your first name only and the state you live in, if you would, please. If you do that, that would be awesome. And then we will, special request, real quick, special request, but no talking tonight, as you know, and we will pray for you, prophesy, whatever God gives us, and move on to the next caller, go from caller to caller to caller, okay? All right, let's take our first caller tonight, all right, 202, hang on a second, just a moment here. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. I just got a new understanding of kumbaya tonight, y'all. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya, like Y-A-L-L. Y-A-Y'all, you know, like Texas. What y'all doing over there? All right, give me a moment here. I'm having to redo something here. I almost got it. I have to click on each caller and have to have my computer up working to do that. Give me just a moment. Okay, there we go. I think I have it now. All right, I think it's working. 202-722, my talk to Revell, please.
Hey, Brother Randy, this is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right. We got that deep voice. Hello, everybody. I'm here. Here I am. It sounds like, I think, yeah. Anyway, cool. Thank you, Jesus, for the voice of God and my brother, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you're teaching him that the voice, every person has a voice, but what voice are we offering? What voice are we connected to? Are we connected to the voice of God? Are we connected to the voice of human reasoning? Like Jesus told Peter, he said, you savor not the things of God, but the things of man. So what are we savoring? What are we looking for? What are we looking at? Are we looking at the things that man teaches, the things that man say about things? Or we're looking at the Word of God and what the Word God says about it, right? So that's what Jesus told Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan, because, you know, Peter was telling him he didn't have to go to the cross. And the very thing Jesus was struggling with and battling with, which we see at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was wrestling with that. I mean, it's a very real thing. To watch the Son of God wrestle is amazing to see it manifest. And so when the devil tried to use Peter to do that, you know, Peter didn't have a clue. He was just an innocent, you know, he ended up preaching the day of Pentecost. He was an amazing man. But in between time, Satan's convinced him of some man's teaching thing that he's, you know, you don't have to die, Jesus. And the devil just uses us when we have man's things. I mean, I've had a lot of man's things in my life. And God says, Randy, I'm gonna show you to listen to my voice, to hear what I say in my word. Not just take hook, line, and sinker what some man says about it. Listen to them and pray about what they say, including Randy Chandler or whoever it is, and then ask God to show you. God, you show me what's going on, and let God take you, and he will explain things to you, my brother, that he takes me by the hand because he knows how Randy Chandler learns, and it's a complicated thing for some people, but he understands me, right? He takes me by the hand, Daryl Paul, and he leads me the way I can understand something. Right? Not the way you understand it, not the way anybody else understands it, but the way I can understand it. And he leads me and he guides me like a little child. And he says, here you go, Randy, you got this? See that? I go, yeah. But I kind of already have yeah, I got that. Mm-hmm, that. Okay, yeah, got it. Okay. And he said, that plus that, this is why what you believe is not right, because that plus that equals this, not the other. 2 + 2 = 4, not 2 + 2 = 5. And I went, oh, my God, that's amazing. And it was all about the voice of God. Who do I savor? Who do I favor? What do I have a flavor for? The things of God or the things of man? Well, you know, I've had both. And more I've asked God, please show me. These wonderful people have told me this all my life, and I know they're godly people, and they love God. But what do you say, Jesus? And I started going to Jesus. I started going to the Holy Spirit, started going to Father, whatever you want to say. And in Jesus' name, he started opening my eyes and taking me by the hand and saying, this plus this equals this, not that. I go, okay, some of it I had right. Some of it I didn't, Daryl Paul. Something I would, you know, say, you know, if I be a man of God, I know this is right, and it wasn't right. It was difficult. But I decided I'm going to please God more than please people. Right? Yeah. Am I a man pleaser or am I a God pleaser? Which one am I? So I had to learn to please God and be nice to people who didn't believe in like I did. I could vehemently disagree with them publicly or privately or however it was, but as a brother, they were my brothers, and I do it to this day. I have people who vehemently disagree with me, and I vehemently disagree with, but you know what? Not all of them can be your brothers, but some can. And so I started learning to be one of those who didn't throw the baby out the bathwater, and learned to let the Holy Spirit teach me and still love those who didn't change like I changed. That's the test, is can we love those who believe like we used to believe? Yeah, that was a test for me. And now to this day, it's just easy because, you know, once you know that, you know, once the Holy Spirit starts leading you and guiding you in all truth, you know that truth like nothing else, and you're not afraid of somebody's lies. I'm not afraid. I can listen to their trash all day long. They're half truth and half, you know, like I've had, they're half truth, and I can listen to it all day long. You know what? I just learn from their trash. I learn from their trash. Oh, I don't want to listen to that trash because it's not good for me. I listen to that trash, and now once you know the truth sets you free where you can look at the trash and learn from the trash. The trash reveals things from God too, man. It's amazing. I know you probably already know all this, but it's amazing. I'm not afraid to look at anything. I'm going to look at that. No. Don't listen to those people. They're really strong, what they believe. They got all these scriptures in it, but it's not really. Don't listen. You know, and that's what I used to do. They should be afraid of that. You know why I was afraid? Because I didn't have knowledge of it. Like Peter got knowledge from Father. Yeah, Jesus said, my Father had revealed this to you. And that's why Peter was so strong. He had that potential already. Remember he walked on the water when everybody else hid in the boat? The boat floaters? Anyway, okay, Daryl, I got to move on. I got moved to the... But that is something God began to show me, and I found out a lot of things I believe were not biblical according to the Holy Spirit, and some of the things I did were very strong and very right and very good. And so I had to, you know, so the more I found the truth, the stronger I became, where I could stand in the midst of the most deceiving, creepy little, like Jesus stood in the midst of the most smart people of the law who were lawyers of the law, who were well-trained in the law, and he wasn't even well-trained in the law. They were. In that sense, and he wasn't intimidated by their trash at all. Bring it on, baby. Yeah, dude, what was that? You want to ask me some question like, who do we give to, Caesar or God? Like that one was for sure Daryl Paul going to trip him up. They knew that, and they got him with that one. These guys were smart, and they were knowledgeable. They knew things, and Jesus said that's why he was never intimidated. Anybody tells you and me, don't listen to those people. That's because they don't have the truth from God. They have it from man. Because they have it from man and not from God, they're not founded. It's not founded in them. Therefore, they fear it. Right? Same thing with me. You know, I tell people now, once God starts showing you the truth, man, you can go into the pits of hell. You can be in among snakes and vipers. You can be in a lion's pit. And who cares? Right? I don't believe what I believe because men taught me. I believe what I believe because, yeah, God used some people to get things going, and God corrected some of their stuff and said some of it's right, some of it's not, and went on with that. And guess what? Made me very solid in Jesus. And now I love people don't believe like I do, and I can hang with them. And I'll talk scripture if they want to talk scripture, and most of the time they don't want to do it too much, but a little bit. And I enjoy it. So, because I have no fear. There's no fear, that's where you're solid. Yeah. All right. Wow, where'd that go? I don't know. That's awesome. This is what God is doing, man. He's revealing things to us. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole, for blessing her, God, for opening her up to the realm of your glory, the glory realm. She can see the glory, know the glory. When Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. You know, when he saw God's glory. When you see God's glory, Nicole, as you already know, when you see his glory, not just a bunch of wonderful scriptures and the word of God only, but the Bible even says that he told them, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey his laws. You know, that it was the voice first. And when any time we have an experience with the voice of God or his glory realm, not just what men say can be awesome about God. What Jesus told about God was awesome. What Jesus told about Jesus to his disciples was true and awesome. But until they got it from the Father, It was like, it wasn't glory, and they got it from the glory realm. Whoa, Nicole, from the glory realm. Isha qua pare roconje pindota pavio fila prahai matonge pratuske fahi. Yikopa. Just ask him, God, show me your glory. And when we see him, then we don't have to read. I mean, we read our Bibles. We always need to read our Bible, but we don't have to read our Bible to see it. When you see him, you see it, and you know it from him. And then you go to the Word, and you go, oh, my God, there it is right there. It's amazing. So what we see him and hear of him, Jesus told, was it Philip, he said, how long have I been with you, Philip? And yet you have seen, you know, when you see me, you see, I'm in the image of my Father. I'm physical, flesh and blood of what my Father is in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. What you see is the glory of the Father. And every once in a while, he would let the light shine and let them see the glory. And they got their doctrines, basically, most for the most part, from the relationship of who he was and what he was and what he did, more than it was even the law and the prophets. It all came together for them with that, but they saw it firsthand. They saw the glory of the Father in the Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, wow, what an amazing thing it was. So, amen, like Moses said, show me your glory. When he did, woo, took him to a whole nother place. Yeah. All right, 610-969. Let me talk to you from, please.
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from Pennsylvania.
Yes. Hi, Lisa. All right, thank you. All right. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Jesus, for the opening up of the womb. God's opened up our womb. Sometimes God closes our womb so we can't bear. And like he did Sarah, he didn't let Sarah bear a child until the right time. And sometimes there's some things that we don't get in the womb of our heart where our faith is until a certain time. And then when the time comes, like with Sarah and Abraham, he waited, what, 25 years for him? If, not that they didn't learn other things and have other things and were faithful and loyal to God. And, you know, they did make their mistakes, but they, you know, that God still blessed them. God, they were learning, they were growing. But there was that one thing that God didn't open up in her womb until it came time for that time. And when that happened, it was amazing. Amen. And so, so God opened up her womb. And so I see God opening up the womb of your heart. Like your, our womb, our spiritual womb, is where we receive the seed of God's word. And there's some things that God doesn't reveal or let be revealed until a certain time, until a certain season. And so we're in that season now. And if as you let God do that, he will plant things in you, understanding and wisdom that you've never seen or known before. And it'll open you up to, you know, things you've never seen or known. You know, like Sarah and Abraham believed for years that they were going to get pregnant and certain things were going to happen. This is going to happen, that's going to happen. But it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. A lot of other things happened, but that wasn't happening. Right? They have cattle. They had rich. They were rich. They had gold. They had silver. They had, you know, all kinds of stuff, servants and donkeys and camels and you name it, man. Cattle, sheep. They were loaded. And yet they had no child because God was waiting until the time of the father. And when that happened, oh, my God, wow. There it came. He opened her womb and resurrected Abraham's seed. I think it was all dead. And at the right time, the right season, he resurrected. At the right time, he brought to life and made things known. He manifested things. That not that it, sometimes we think our prayer, we're not doing the right thing. It had nothing to do with them doing the right things. It had more to do with timing. And so then he opens it up and it happens. So we have to realize, get rid of the condemnation of, you know, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing everything perfect? Of course we're not doing anything perfect. Of course they didn't do everything perfect. Look what they did with Ishmael. You know, yeah. I mean, that was a big mess. And yet, you know, God just kind of overlooks, kind of, you know, we're going to get this thing done. It's going to happen. It's like he did with Zechariah. Zechariah didn't believe. He just shut his mouth for 9 months where he couldn't talk. And then he had his baby doll, John the Baptist later. So, So it's not about being perfect. Sometimes it's about timing. It was time to have John the Baptist. So even with the unbelieving Zechariah, so to speak, it happened anyway. And then later he opened his mouth because he learned. Amen. So there you go. Amen. Timing. It's about timing. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, thank you, Lord, for the keys to the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for those keys. You know, if we have the keys, when you're given keys, we have, depending on what level of security you're working in the kingdom of God as to what keys you have. Some people will be given keys to, all the important rooms, so to speak, where the important documents are, where secret things are, there's some people have the keys to those things, and some people, not everybody has the keys to certain offices, to certain places in a high-level building. And so it's like I see God, the keys are made through testings and trials that we go through. Can I trust Chris with this key? And your trial and you're coming through it, and we may go through it 15 times and conquer it the 16th time. It doesn't really matter how many times we go through it. It's when we conquer it, and it's the conquering of going through that trial that shapes the key that it fits in that particular room lock that opens up that door. So we must pass the testing that God that we get placed in, like Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted of Satan. As soon as he passed that test, it's like he had three keys, because each test that you pass carves out the shape of the key that fits a certain door. And that's what I saw in Italy when I heard your voice, and I saw this key being shaped by you're walking through things, and as you walk through them and you learn whatever you're supposed to learn, that's what carved out the shape. You go and have a key made, it carves out the shape of the key that fits the lock, that opens the lock. If you don't pass the trial, then the key's not made right, and you go try to put the key in the lock, it gets almost stuck in there, can't pull it out. It's like, it doesn't work, right? So when we successfully go through a trial, a situation, a test that God brings us through, and we do what God says, then it's literally carving out the key to the exact precise precision that will slide in that keyhole, that lock, and open up that door so you can have access to it. So it's about access. Everything that, like Jesus, the reason he had access to go into Jerusalem was because he passed those three tests in the wilderness where Satan tempted him. He said, every time, get behind me, Satan, get behind me, Satan. That's not the Lord that God, so he conquered. He didn't yield to the temptation. And when he did that, the keys were literally cut. The keys are not cut until you go through it. The victory that we walk through, our obedience to God and what we do, that's what carves out the exact, structure of that key that opens that door. And so those three keys, he needed all three of those keys. And they all were three separate keys from three separate areas. One of them was, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. So when he passed that one, that gave him the key. Satan didn't even know it, but that was carving out the key for him to take the kingdom. Woo! Yeah. Cachero, pofaca, panejo, barniki, cococo, hi. Yeah. And our disobedience, of course. Jesus didn't have any of those, though I've had my share of those. The key never gets, carved out, right? It never fits. Why can't I get into this room? I know I'm supposed to be in there. I know this is where I belong. Yeah. But the success that Jesus made in his obedience to God was, and doing what he did is what carved the key out to the exact scripture he uses. Like that's what, and saying the right words, carved out that key exactly to fit that lock. And there were three different locks for three different things, and we'll talk about this sometime. It's amazing. And so he entered into Jerusalem by the keys. He went into the temple in Nazareth and you know, and went to church, you know, and they were like, we know this guy. We were raised with him, slept with him. And he stepped into that place and said, Isaiah, about the Messiah. He said, this is that. I am that. It has now come to pass. Yeah, all because he passed the test and the key was carved out to fit those three arenas. And like he was tested three different ways, right? You know, three different times he said, Father, you know, not my will, but thy will be done, right? That was, those were some things that were going on. We're going to talk about that. It's amazing over there. I don't have time to talk about it right now, but I saw that in the spirit. It's right away, the Lord said, give that to Chris about the carving of the keys and why our obedience is so important and for the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. All right, bro. Woo, that was heavy, man. She called five, five. All right, 863-268. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida. And could you pray for Stephanie, please?
Stephanie. Yes, of course. Absolutely, Stephanie. Thank you, Lord, for Steph tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her heart, God, the things you're doing in her heart. It says that with the heart, man believeth, a woman believeth, whatever mankind believe. With the heart, man believeth. And so God is really showing her how to, you know, do things from her heart, not just emotional, not the emotional heart. We have three different hearts. I believe that we have three different hearts. And I think our spirit man has a heart. I think our soul has a heart. And I think our physical body has a heart, of course. And so, you know, so we have three different hearts. Interesting, we just talked about the three different keys. Anyway, so the three different hearts. And all three of those hearts have to become obedient to God, of course. And so what God does is that he, you know, takes us through these trials, these situations to see that we're doing things from our heart, not just from what we think is right and what we think would be good and what we would do if we were God, you know, or if we were type thing, but what, but giving our heart to God and not doing things just emotional, what we think we respond out of emotions, but what do we respond out of the heart of God? What would God do, you know? And so God's teaching her how to, he's breaking her heart and reshaping her heart, breaking, making, breaking, making, breaking, making. And as he makes her heart, he shapes her heart. Because when you have a heart for God, God has, he takes that heart when your heart goes after him and he shapes it and makes it. And if we let him, he will shape it and make it to do, you know, to do great things. And great things, as we know, is not just doing being the president of the United States and being the president of the Bible Club, but it is being the proud, if you will, the humble, proud winner of doing God's will for your life. That's what's great in the eyes of God. So may you, God, give her the image of what's great for her, because what's great for her may not be great for somebody else, but what's great for her is what's God has purposed her to do, and that's what's important that she focuses on. It's what God's purposed her to do, and that's when God will say, good job, well done, my good and faithful servant, right? So bless her, God, strengthen her, and let her be opened up to that understanding in Jesus' name, where she can be a conqueror, God. Conquering means you always do the will of God instead of your own will, every time. You get, all of our tests are, will we do the will of God? Sometimes it's not fair. We're going to do what we think is fair, what I think is fair, what I think is right, what I think is should be done, or we're going to yield to God, no matter what our understanding, no matter what our emotions or our understanding thinks, we're going to do what God wants. And we do what God wants, then God says, I can trust this girl. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for that and the beauty of that. Thank you, Lord, for Charles. Nick, thank you, Lord, for Charles as he conquers and overcomes the things in his life, as Charles begins to conquer those things in his life, God, and yields to you, Jesus, and calls you Lord in every area of his life. That's the big test we go through, is do we really have God, Jesus, as Lord of every area of our life? So then we start finding out that he's Lord of 50 of them, but we've got 50 more that are close, but not quite there yet. And those who make him the Lord of every area of their life, I end up having the lordship power of God, the power and the authority of Jesus to do the works of Jesus. So that's what all of our tests about. All of our every trial we go through is, the will of the Father. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that. All right. Hang on a second here. Thank you. So everything he's going through now, God, we thank you that you're going to help him, encourage him, and strengthen him to be able to yield to you and learn what he needs to learn from it, whatever those things are, that he will grow and become strong, and that you will be Lord of his life in these areas. And what a beautiful work you're doing in him, God. It's so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus, for all that. And amen for that. All right, amen for Charles. Thank you, Lord, for my sister tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her life. We thank you, God, for what you're calling her to do and choosing her to do. She chooses what you choose, and she goes where you go. And that's what Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. God, I thank you that you're opening her eyes to see clearer. You know, that's the thing. None of us see. We all see through a glass darkly. Some eyes are opened a little more than others. Some people just keep that eye, if they see the glass darkly. I mean, that glass is like so dark you can't hardly see nothing in there. But some people, it keeps getting lighter and less darker and less darker and less. You see through a glass, you know, less darker and less darker all the time. When your eyes get open, when your soul begins to change, when your soul gets saved, as we talked about last night, as your soul gets saved, that glass becomes less dark and less dark, you know, when I see through a glass dimly or darkly. Now it's like I see through it, you know. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're opening her eyes, God, so she can see clearer and clearer through that glass, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Because when we walk in that place with God, no matter what the devil does, no matter what he throws at us, it always turns up for God's glory. And that's the point of the whole thing, is everything. Well, God wants to work everything for your glory, but at the same time, he has to have a yielded vessel for that. It doesn't just automatically happen. People think, oh, it's going to work out because I love God. If you don't obey God and show your love to him by your obedience to him, then that thing just doesn't automatically work out for good. You know, it just doesn't. And so people think that everything automatically works out because God is God. Not true. It's according to our love for him and our obedience to him. It's how that thing works out and whether it works out for our good and his good. Amen. So there you go. All right. 912-318. You want to talk to your phone, please? Hang on a second here. All right. I think this is Sandra. I don't know what I think, is it? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for Sandra and Robert. God, we thank you, Lord. And yes, then we have Paulette. Thank you, Paulette. Yes. Thank you for that. Well, no, you're on there. You're next. You're 398. This is 318. Sorry, I didn't say that clearly. Thank you, Paulette, for responding to that. I appreciate that. But I'm talking to 318, which is Sandra and Robert. Okay. Yes, your sister. Okay. All right. Yes. Thank you for that, Paulette. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Sandra, God. We thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory that's upon them, God, that because they're yielding their life to you, God, you are working things out for your glory. You're working things out for your purpose. You're working things out for that's why we can never be defeated, no matter what the enemy brings to us or tries to bring to us, that as we yield it to God, sometimes that's the biggest test, as I just shared with Nikki, that when we yield it to God, and sometimes that we yield it to God because we don't understand, you know, where's this going, why did this happen, why is it not happening, why aren't certain things not happening, and when we yield it to God and don't try to understand everything and have to, like Mary did, you know, I don't have a husband. How am I going to have a child? He said, well, because it's going to be supernatural. She was, oh, okay, that'll work. just do it then. And be it done to me according to that work. So when we walk in the area, that's when the glory of God begins to work everything out for our good and even shapes things that Satan tries to do. There's something that goes on, Sandra, with the devil. And the devil tries to attack us and put us down. God guys goes like, oh, man, I can't believe he's doing that to them like that. You know, and then he has compassion on us and then works double hard, if you will, just kind of my way of looking at it, double hard to, you know, make sure that Sandra and Robert know that I love them and I'm on their side. I'm gonna do something. Like when Leah was rejected by Jacob and loved whatever his wife's name was. Anyway, you know, he never really loved Leah. And God, one day, you see it in the Word, and Jacob God said about Leah, he said, well, because Jacob hates you. I think he literally says hates you. He said, I'm going to love you. And then she got to bear the seed of Christ, right, the tribe of Judah. So there's something about that. And I thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert, God, that what you're doing in their life, God, that where you're moving in those places and showing them, God, that when we go through these things in our life, we yield them to you, Jesus, and say, God, I'm not going to try to figure this out. I do want to know what I need to do, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe you. And as soon as we do that in our hearts, Sandra wrote, what happens is God says, okay, wow, the devil's picking on you, or you know, like Jacob didn't like Leah, his first wife, his first unwanted wife. And so God had compassion on him, on her because of that. And therefore she got to bear the seed of Christ. Okay, the tribe of Judah. All right. I said that already, but I'm just doubling down on that. So thank you, Jesus, for that place in their heart, God, where they're saying, God, we trust you, we trust you, we trust you. And God works it out for your glory. Amen. All right. Oops. Okay, let's go here to now 3-912-398. This is
Paulette, Georgia.
Hi, Paulette. All right, we got it. Thank you very much for being patient. Thank you for helping me out there. I appreciate it. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette, my sister, God. She may be your sister, but you're my sister. My sister, yeah. So thank you, Lord, for my sister, Paulette, God. I thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God. I thank you, Lord, for the things that she covets. She does covet things, and that coveting is, the Bible says, covet the greatest gifts. Covet love, covet the greatest gifts. The Bible even says to covet them or to desire them heavily. And when you covet the right things, you know, the Bible says, you know, we don't covet other things, but when we covet the greatest gifts, it says in 1 Corinthians that to covet, God tells us to covet the greater gifts. You know, the things that, because when we covet the greater gifts, what does that mean? That means God's going to be able to use us greater. And so if our whole life is wanting to be a servant and wanting to be greatly used by God, then we covet the greater gifts, right? Not to be a show-off, right? I mean, that's not what it's about. It's about being a servant of God. And the greater gifts, you know, do greater works. And so I thank you, Lord, that you've called her to do the greater works in Jesus' name and open her up to the greater works, God, knowing what the greater works are, and that we can covet, we can actually covet the greater gifts, the Bible says. Let me see if I can find that real quick. I don't know why. Covet. Yeah. Covet. Best gifts. You're just right here. So we can covet. Right? So I thank you, Lord, that Paulette, 1 Corinthians 12:31. Computer not wanting to go. Nothing is impossible. But covet earnestly the best gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:31, and yet I'll show unto you a more excellent way. But earnestly desire the best gifts. Right? But earnestly covet. Earnestly desire, but covet strongly the best gifts, right? Yeah, so we're supposed to do that. We covet them. We desire them. Why? So, because we want God to use us. and in a more powerful way. So coveting the best gifts means, you know, being able to be, to think bigger, to do bigger, to do greater for God, to do more great things for God. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole desire in her life, God, to open her up to that. In Jesus' name, to bless her with the greater gifts, God, in her life, so that she can do greater works for you, God, to please you and to bless the body of Christ. Amen, in Jesus' name. Bless her with that, God, right now, by the power of God. Open her up to that whole realm and let her see that coveting the best gifts, the greater gifts, is a thing that God wants. So, because the gifts are the things that God get, you know, they're gifts. The things that are given to us, we don't earn them or buy them, but they're given to us. They're gifts that are given to us by God to do what? He gives us gifts. Can you imagine getting a gift every Christmas that blesses other people? And that's how God does it. He gives us gifts to please him and to bless people. Amen. We're blessed to be a blessing, right? And that's what the best gifts are, coveting the best gifts, the greater gifts. Amen, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. All right, 214-646. Someone we'll talk to your company.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey. All right, y'all. Good to have you tonight. Terrence and Tanisha did our shows on Wednesdays. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, God, for that whole realm of love, God, that realm of love, the love realm. Love is the greatest. Faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest. You know, we need all those things, faith and hope. And but when you're so it really, we talked tonight about with Joseph that he was very shrewd. He was a very shrewd person, but his motives were pure. You know, he didn't always look pure. Sometimes he looked like he was really going to beat up on his brothers and was vindictive and that. But since we all know the end of the story, we know that it wasn't true. But yet, it looked like it because he was shrewd. He was very shrewd, but yet he was harmless as a dove. And so that's the thing that so love does that. So when you walk in love, a love causes you to be shrewd. And when he loved his brothers and he loved God and he loved his family, but he had to go take them through things to see where they were because he had, you know, to protect. God had given him responsibility to protect what he had. So he had to prove them out to see if they had changed, to see if they were just as evil as they were before, or maybe worse. He did not know. And so he tested them and kind of find out they had changed. And it made him weep to see that they were sorry for what they did, man. I mean, I just want to weep when I think about that. And he says, like right now, I mean, literally I'm going to weep over that. That he wept when they just were, you know, talking in front of him, they didn't know it was him, and saying things like, "We shouldn't have done that to Joseph. Why did Isaac? We were wrong. We were reaping this thing because of what we did to Joseph. We were wrong. We should have not ever done that. It was horrible. It was evil." And he was sitting there listening to that. And I'm telling you, I can't even imagine. The Bible says he went to another room and wept. Right, Tanisha? That's what it says. He went into the other room and wept. He couldn't hold it any longer. Why? Because he saw that they had changed. That they were sorry for what they did. You know, it's amazing. Amazing. Woo, help me, Jesus. It's amazing that he sees that there's sorrow for what they did. And he couldn't handle it. He goes and weeps and weeps and weeps. And it comes out later, you know, when the tests were all done and he found out where they were at and he had his family sitting in front of him, he couldn't hold it out any longer. He said, "Now that I know that their motives, that they're sorry for what they did, I'm going to reveal myself to them." And, man, wow, it was amazing. But it was all, he did it all out of love. And, you know, just, so anyway, man, I almost started right there. Wow, that's pretty good. So thank you, Jesus, for that, for motivation, that our motivation, even though our motivation can be love, it's not always love. Love is not always a kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. I don't think ever got to be pleasing and nice to our people that have done us wrong. We think we're just supposed to like roll over. I mean, we do turn the other cheek and that kind of thing, but when it comes to them, you know, being a part of what's going on and touching our lives, we have to test them out and see where they're at exactly. And he was not ashamed at one moment for testing them out and making them feel like they were all going to die. It was amazing because he knew what he was doing. He was in control of it. He was putting pressure on them to squeeze out to see what was really in their heart. And sure enough, it all squeezed out, and they were sorry for what they did to Joseph. And then, man, wow. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole scenario with her. In Jesus' name, that is happening. That will be. All right. And Terrence, thank you, Lord, for Terrence and that guy. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God. Thank you for that place also with him of motivation, of purpose, that we sometimes God takes us through things and lets us suffer things like Joseph suffered. I mean, Joseph's story is so powerful. There's so much in that. He suffered so much. And the things that he suffered, though we're talking with Phoenicia about he had love for his family, because he was a family man. He really was a family man. But he also became very shrewd in his love. And he became very, you know, because of what had happened to him, because he knew he was innocent, you know, of his things. And when you know you're innocent and those things happen to you, it does something in you that when you give it to God, because a lot of people don't give it to God, they become bitter. And when they give it to God, it turns that into this shrewd, you know, loving person who loved his family and would have done anything to be back with them. He was locked up in this prison for years. It's a mind-boggling situation. And yet he endured and just pleased. The whole situation of him being away from his family is all was to see who he would please, people or God. People or God. That's what God told him years ago. Randy, you know, what grieves me more than anything is the pleased man more than God. I went, oh my God, I never dreamed he was talking to me about that, right? This is back in the 80s. Yeah, back in the 80s. 81, I think, 1981. And he spoke it to me just as clear as bell, like I'm talking to you. And I'm like, yeah, I know some people like that. And eventually, after it took months, he said, no, I'm talking to you, son, you. I went, oh my God. And it changed my life. But so sometimes there's things in our life that we don't know that are there, and God reveals them to us so that we can be prepared for the future, so that when Joseph ruled or did his thing, he was a shrewd man, but he had love. Some people are shrewd, but their motives are wrong. But thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God, that his motives are of love. His motives are true. His shrewdness will be motivated by love and by, you know, truth and wanting and not afraid to test out things and not afraid to do things that people may not understand. They may go, well, you know, that's not very right. That's not very nice. If you read Joseph's story, that's what I said when he did some things on it. Something's wrong with him. You know, if I didn't know the end of the story, I'd think, you know, Joseph's got some hidden issues here with his brothers because he's treating them really rough. And because he knew who they were. They didn't know who he was. They knew he knew who they were, but they did not know who he was. And so he took full advantage of that. And it looked like in the natural that he was like being vindictive for a little bit. But trying to find out when you see what really was going on, he was testing them. And anyway, so there you go. So thank you for that shrewdness with the right motive, God, and the right intentions. Always lead us to glory. Always lead us to those places of change to where, you know, our love becomes a shrewd love, a love with wisdom, the wisdom from, you know, okay, I don't want to get on this too long, but the 10 wise virgins, the five who obeyed God said to the five foolish, I'm sorry, we're not going to give you of our oil. That was shrewd, but their motives were not selfish. They were shrewd. They had to be shrewd with their, you know, so it was a whole different thing. And yet they were virgins and they were girls and they were wise. Where was their compassion at, Brother Andy? Whatever. Wait, listen, it ain't what you think it is. You know, this whole thing ain't what people think it is. And I think it's just all this being a man suck up, man pleasing thing. And I know a lot about that because God took me by the hand and started showing me how this stuff works. We're going to talk about it more in the future, but most people are not ready for this anyway. It's because, you know, they're going to say, oh yeah, I know people like that. Just like I did. I did the same thing. Oh, I know some people like that. Or it's no, you don't understand, Randy. Get the log out of your eye. I went, huh? Yeah, it took a while. And finally, and the peace I got when I finally saw it, oh dear God, Because when you're raised up to be a prophet, you can't be a man pleaser or you won't get the job done. And so he knew he had some business to do with me, that's for sure. All right, 903-808, can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Jeannie in Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. All right, Jeannie, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. Jeannie does our show on every Monday. And thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. God, I thank you for the wisdom you're giving her. God, I thank you for, the wisdom and that she is, she's finding her wisdom from you, Father, that I'm not going to listen to what people say about things only. I'm going to hear them out. I'm not afraid to listen to people. And then I'm going to go to God and say, God, what's the truth? What's really going on here? What's really going on? And I thank you, Lord, that you've given her wisdom. You've given her strength to trust you and your word and to not just the emotional pleas of people to, in like tradition and breaking and being unfaithful to your traditions, instead of being faithful to the traditions of God, because the traditions of man nullify the power of God. And so God's really going to show you the power of God is involved much in whether we have the traditions of man that we believe. And I've had plenty of those, and I didn't even know it. God had to show me, and he's still showing me stuff. I still don't got it right. I'm getting it right. God is getting it right. I'm just trying to be honest and open about it so other people can go, well, if Brother Randy's, it may be me, And so that's when I try to be an example of, just getting it out in the open. God's changing me on things. And it's difficult because you spend your life believing something that these wonderful people taught you, and it's in your family and whatever it is, so-and-so told me, and I know they're a man of God, another woman of God, and it's got to be right. But you know what? I'm finding out that a lot of those precious people who love God didn't always get it right. It was passed down traditions, things that were taught that were half-baked, half-true, half-not, maybe not even half-true, maybe mostly true, but a little bit of leaven to leaven. Hopefully, anything that we don't have of God in our lives opens us up to spiritual attacks. So that's why it's important. It's not just getting our doctrines right. It's getting, as God begins to help us understand things, it closes the door. Every time we have something open, and we think we got it right, but we don't. Like I've had many of those things, and God's still working on me. That it leaves a door open for the enemy to come in, and no stopping it. When God shows us what the Word says, and the Holy Spirit shows us, not what people say, but what the Lord says, then that door gets shut. And once that door is shut to the enemy and to people, then no man can open up that door. When God shuts the door, when we get a revelation of something from Him, that shuts the door to what people think and what we think about what people think. It is now about what God thinks. And this is what God's doing with His leadership and with His people, all of us. Paul the Apostle was one of the biggest ones who changed. Peter had to change a lot. Peter was a little bit of a man pleaser in some ways because he was afraid what the Jews were going to think about him. And he was a mighty man of God. He walked in miracles, signs, and wonders. He was amazing, and yet he was still compromising now for fear of what the Jews would say. Hang out with the Gentiles, act one way. Hang out with the Jews, act a different way. Paul busted him. Paul said, what are you doing, brother? I love you. Come on, man. And so when he got that straightened out, eventually when he gave his life to God, he didn't deny the Lord anymore. And that's what things do that we have wrong. His belief system that he had that Jesus wasn't going to go to the cross, that the Messiah was going to live forever, that came from men. That's what he savored that because that was a man teaching. And Jesus, was saying, hey, that's going to open you up to denying me. That wrong believing opened him up to denying Jesus because when he denied Jesus, he went, it was more about, well, I believe that the Messiah is not going to die. He's going to live. So obviously they got him in the court. They're fixing to take him out and crucify him. Obviously he's not the Christ. So that wrong believing is what opened him up to denying the Lord. And that's what God started showing me in my life. He said, Randy, this is what I'm doing with you. I'm going to make you strong. It's not going to make, I'm making Jeannie strong in my word, strong from the Father, so that when the pressure comes and people say everybody's denying Jesus and everybody's putting pressure and our lives are being threatened, we're going to be willing to be late, put up on the cross upside down if that's what it takes to die for Him instead of being a bunch of cowardly wimps who freak out when the pressure comes on. Oh, you're going to get your head chopped off. Like that, like what's so horrible about that? When I die, I would love to have my head chopped off. I'd rather do that than suffer, wouldn't you? I'd rather have to be tortured. Yeah, just chop that sucker off and let's get it over with. I mean, why are these people, these creep people, use that as a threatening to believe what they believe? It's one of the most cowardly statements I've ever heard anybody say before. Anyway, you know what I think about that. So, but anything that in my life, or any other life, or in your life, we don't have from God, whatever it is, doesn't matter how sweet and nice and cool it sounds, if it's not God, it opens the door for the enemy to come in and get us to compromise at some level or another. When the pressure's really on, that's when what we believe really matters. And so that's why God is says the truth shall set you free, sets us free from denying the Lord and from making wrong decisions, from being a coward when we need to be strong, from being afraid of what men might do to us. When you believe right, you know, it gives you strength to stand up and say, I will, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow to that image. We're not bound to that image. No way. No compromise. Why? Because they had their belief system correct and at that time. And so, anyway, God's really strengthening you, and he's really, you know, you have such a desire for truth and God to show you that truth and not just be brought to you from other people. But as you hear people, listen to people, you know, I know your heart, God's going to show you, and he's going to close every door. Every door is going to be shut to the enemy of any kind of compromise, any kind of anxiety, any kind of thing that come in and try to attack you from behind. God's going to shut those doors, and from then on, man and no devil will ever be able to open those doors to get you from behind ever again. The purpose of that. And it's amazing, and God's people, God's leadership are truly becoming shepherds. And that's why Jesus told Peter after he, you know, rose from the dead, and he said, do you love me? Because Peter denied Jesus three times, and that's why Jesus said, do you love me three times? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because he denied him three times, right? And he cleansed him of that, and he said yes. And he heard his voice, and he knew that he meant it. And Jesus go, you're going to feed my sheep. Yeah, that's what God does. It's amazing. He got rid of that doctrine because Christ had, yes, he died, and then he rose again from the dead, which totally obliterated that belief system that Peter had, that the Jewish people had. It obliterated it because he died. Just like Peter said, if you're the Messiah, you're not going to die. That's why he denied it. Now it's like, oh, my God, you are the Messiah, and you did die. And you wrote, it straightened out his theology, if you will, and changed everything he believed and made him a person that he was so bold and so strong. And he still had issues after the day of Pentecost. Paul rebuked him and said, you're compromising, man. He still had things, but it didn't matter. We all have stuff that we're dealing with, right? But it doesn't make us, you know, unusable by God. In fact, it makes us, Peter was very usable. And so we have that passion we have for truth is amazing, and God loves it, and he's really going to make you strong here because of that. All right, 803-991, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Angela, thank you, Angela. Everybody make sure to drink your water. You can hear me drinking water in the background. Drink that water. Do not get hydrated. You'll think the devil's attacking you. Know, all it is your brain's drying out on you. You don't want your brain drying out on you because that's where all the info comes from. That's where all your sanity is supposed to be, right? And the water's not in there. We start getting insane, basically, or just messed up because our brain can't function. Anyway, besides all that, there you go. So thank you, Lord, for showing Angela how to drink the water of the Spirit so she can keep her thinking right, so her brain, her spiritual brain can work, that she will not be spiritually dehydrated. You teach her how to drink of the water of the Spirit. Jesus said, at the last day of the feast, and I think it's in John 7, day of the feast, he said, come unto me, all ye who are thirsty, and drink. There's a reason why he said that, Angela, because most people really don't know how to drink, and they go around spiritually dehydrated. They got all kinds of crazy stuff going on, and they think it's the devil, they think it's this, they believe all these weird things, and this thing's going to happen, and that's going to happen, and their brain is, like, not even thinking straight, and they're just, like, going all over the place. It doesn't mean they're not saved. It just means they haven't learned how to drink of the water of the Spirit. of the water of the word. And until we learn to do that, we're going to have dehydration issues in the spirit realm, and our brains are going to be able to function right. So, in order for our creativity from God to work, from God, not just our natural creativity, but our God-given creativity, we got to drink that water, the water of the word, the water of the spirit. Hearken unto the voice. The Bible says, even in the Old Testament, he told them to hearken to the, if you will hearken diligently to listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God and obey the law and obey the word. Now we say obey the word. That, all these blessings will come on you. So what happens when we hearken to the voice of the Lord and the water of the word, drinking of the water of the spirit, then we're not dehydrated all the time, thirsty, always like a, you see people, man, it's like that. You can just tell by looking at them. They've lost their strength. They're not thinking straight. They're kind of confused, and it's like, what's wrong with me? I don't know. Hey, the devil. And all this is one simple thing. It's like in the natural realm. They need to drink some water of the spirit every day. Every day we drink it in, it pours out. We drink it in, we pour it out. We drink it in, we pour it out. Just like in the natural realm. We drink it in, it should be poured out. We drink it. It's a process that nurtures our body, that nurtures your spiritual mind, your spiritual thinking, your spiritual creativity from God. So most people don't have a lot of spiritual creativity from God, from the Holy Spirit, because they don't drink of his word and drink of his spirit and listen to his voice. We just end up obeying rules and laws. Instead, we're dry and we're, legalistic, and the enemy gets it. When you're dehydrated, you can tell people are dehydrated spiritually because they're very legalistic. It's all about rules and regulations and not drinking. Jesus said, come unto me, ye who are thirsty, and drink. Unto him, we come to him, not religion, not just the Bible only, but drinking of the Spirit, and let the Spirit reveal the word. Hallelujah. And then that create. Then we have, then our brains can think clearly. We can make right decisions in the spirit realm. And, we spend less time, feeling bad, feeling like we're under attack. And all of this really simple. A lot of people fight the devil all the time, and they get caught up into that because they don't drink into the Spirit of God. They're not drinking in the Spirit of God. So what they always, the devil. But they think it's the devil, right? And it's not the devil. I mean, the devil does definitely attack us. Of course he does. But a lot of our attacks and our warfare come from being dehydrated spiritually. So we're going to learn how to drink of the Spirit and not just be legalistic, and I'm going to have a fellowship with Jesus, amen, and the Word of God. And when we do that, our creativity from him is always working and showing us things that in the secret place. All right, there you go, secret place. Angela? All right, 915-929, who am I talking to from, please?
This is Carmen from Texas. Also, Daniel asked to have prayer and prophecy for him, too. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you for Carmen and Daniel. And Carmen from, no matter where they're from. So thank you, Jesus, for that blessing on their life, God. Thank you, Lord, for that conquering spirit, that conquering anointing, that ability to conquer things, God. So when we have right teaching, when we have right revelation, when we have right understanding, we conquer things because we know the process of how to deal with something. That's why Jesus was so powerful, Carmen and Daniel, was because he number one, like I told Angela, he drank of the water. He knew how to drink of the water, the spirit, but he knew how to process things. And so he processed things from the roots of, of God. He was a root person. Because he was a root person in every area of his life, he dealt with roots and bad, he dealt with the evil things, the bad things, and by the root. He also, lived off the roots. And so of the foundational things of God. So because he did, anytime somebody asked him a question, he could always have the answer and blew their mind because he drank from the foundation. He drank from the roots. He drank from the well. He drank from the secret place, from the things that are underneath the ground, the things that are not seen by man easily. But he understood that, and he lived in that, and he reasoned like that. So therefore, anytime they ask him some crazy question, think they're going to trip him up, he just went to the root. He understood the roots. He understood the foundation. He didn't just know. He just didn't have see the power of God in his life. He understood. He understood God. He had like Moses. You know, he understood his ways. And when you understand the ways of God, we have nothing to fear, because anytime something comes up into our life, we go, we don't fear anything. It's amazing. You don't fear anything because you know that whatever comes up, whether it hits us upside the head, shocks us, surprises us. They always tried to shock Jesus and surprise him with these really hard questions in front of everybody. But because he lived in knowing the ways of God, understanding the foundation, he understood the root system of God, then no matter what they asked him, it didn't matter. See, they didn't know that. So they would try to trip him up, and he would just answer the question and just like nothing, no big deal. He didn't even strain his brain. It just came right out of him. And he totally countered every strategy of the enemy. And not just in that strategy only of the questions, but in every strategy the enemy brought him, like when he was tempted in the wilderness. He drank from the root system of God, from the secret place of God, from the fellowship of God. And because of that, and he understood God's ways, then, you know, so we need to spend more of our time understanding the ways of God. Like you talked about last night about the bitter root judgments and all that. Very powerful, because when you understand the bitter root judgment, the roots of bitterness, and that kind of the whole thing about the roots, when you understand the root system of how things work, you don't have to have all that other extra knowledge, because it's in you. And when you go through that situation, that struggle, that battle, and need an answer, you know, it just comes up out of you because you're connected to the ways of God. And this is really where we're going. People that live in the secret place are people who, what we're talking about, Jesus lived, of course, in the secret place. He was the secret place, actually, but he knew how to, as a human being, understand. He all of his reasoning, how he reasoned out everything, every battle, every struggle, every, you know, thing of, you know, how to understand the Word of God, how to read the Word of God, how to look at the Word of God. He understood the ways of God, so he, when he read the Word, he knew how to interpret it or look at it, right? Most people always try to spend all the time trying to figure out, what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, we do that, right? But once we connect to the root system of God, then we just drink up from the fountains of the deep and from the Lord, and the answers just come. They come. That's why Solomon was so wise, because he was, you know, he understood the root of what God wanted, and because it's what he wanted. And God says, what do you want? I give you anything you want, Solomon. What do you want? And he shocked. I think, I don't know if God was shocked or not, but he was like going, whoa, man, this dude knew exactly what I wanted. He asked right from the very root system, give me wisdom to judge your people. Whoa. And God was highly impressed, because he could tell that Solomon thought from the root system of God. What's going to make the kingdom of God work is having a true judge who judged by the Spirit, by the wisdom, by the root systems of God. Everything was worked out. Everything was dealt with. That when they brought the baby in and cut the baby in, that was all, the wisdom came from the root systems of God. So we thank you, Jesus, for those roots. We deal with the bitter roots, and we enjoy the roots that drink from the sweet well water of Jesus, of the Father. Hallelujah for Daniel. And Lord, thank you for Daniel, God, that you're doing it with Daniel and showing Daniel how to equate things. Equate, what does equate mean? Equate. I don't know what equate means. Equate. Wait a second. I don't know what equate means. Anybody know what equate means? I got it right here, but here we go. Equate. Oh, consider one thing to be the same or equivalent to another. Huh? That makes sense, equate. Consider one thing to be the same as or equivalent to another. Like, here's an example. Customers equate their name with quality. Okay. Of one thing be the same as equivalent to another. The sum equates to half 1,000,000 pounds today. Some equates to $500,000 today. I'm trying to understand this myself. Okay, so here we go. You know me, I just get things spontaneously, even though I don't know what it is. I'm taking a risk here. Equates. They told Jesus that even but said to be equal with God. He was equal with God. Not to be something that was wrong, you know, to make such an allowance because we are his children. And I'm gonna get this in a second. Give me a second. I'm trying to work my way through this. To make such an allowance or correction in as will reduce to a common standard or obtain a correct result. To treat, represent, or regard as equal, equivalent, or comparable. Somebody help me. What does equate mean, equal? To equate means to make things equal, and it is a useful word because this is something people do all the time. Okay, tell me what it is. My God, I'm getting impatient here. What does equate mean in a sentence? Okay, to consider one thing to be the same or equal to another. Complained that there was a tendency to equate right-wing politics with self-interest. Okay, anyway, study that out, Daniel. I don't have a clue. Equal to something. Like what, though? I mean, equal, what do you mean equal to something? What would that be? Anyway, so you're going to figure that out yourself, Daniel, because I just step out and I get a word, I just say it, and then, you know, sometimes God just has to show you because I don't always know, understand everything. Like, what would they be in an everyday life experience, you know? What does it mean to equate something, to make equal? What does that mean? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Okay, equate one thing as equal to another. I know, I'm reading that. What does it mean? What's that like in everyday life? Is like, that's what I'm asking. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of like, when I get in the spirit, I can get rather dingy probably. I don't know what I am right now, but even to, you said it didn't mean anything to me. I mean, I'm sure you're saying it exactly perfect, but duh on me. But I'm reading all that. To make equal, to equalize, to make such an allowance or correction in a will, in as will reduced to a common standard. Give me something in everyday life that has to do with it. Yeah, yeah, those are just words. What would that mean in everyday life? That's what I'm asking. Spanish to me, Carmen, that's not helping. Smarty pants. Just start speaking to me. Oh, synonyms of equate, compare, identify, connect, liken, correlate, relate, classify, match. So how would Daniel do that in his life? That's what I want to know. Give me something. Is he count you equal to him? What does that mean? It's, I know all those words, but what does that have to do with, you know? I don't think anybody really knows. Y'all are just saying, yeah, they're speaking Spanish again. That ain't going to work with me. I'm an English-speaking man. He says he has no idea. Hey, I don't either. I'm just telling you, I just get... All right, I know y'all still love me. Thank God for that. But that's just the way it is around here. Y'all know how we do it around here, so that's about it. I'm sorry I can't be more help. I love to help people. I'm going to help. But my Lord and my God, I'm not going. Okay, now they're asking me. We're going to get stuck here. I'm going to have to move on. What did you tell him in regard to Quake? I really didn't say anything. I just got the word equate. I had to go back and listen to it. You know, I just, anyway, thank y'all for your help. I really love you guys, and I really appreciate your help a bunch. But anyway, Daniel is probably smart enough, y'all, to figure it out for himself. That's okay. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm not even going to blame myself, right? We're not going to blame anybody. Move on. Thank you, Daniel. I know Daniel is smart, and he will figure that out on his own. He's a smart guy. We'll just leave it at that. All right. So you have to, I had to be saying the word for a certain thing with Daniel, right? That's what you're saying. Okay. So I don't even remember all what was going on with all that. I don't think it was anything, actually. Actually, what were we talking about? We were talking to Carmen about, what were we talking about you about, Carmen, about? And then I went right into with Daniel to equate. I got the word equate. Okay, I got one thing. I'm going to spend one little more minute on this. You know, we drop everything. Root, about roots. Okay, that's right. About going to the root, about understanding the root, and then having the wisdom of God and being able to figure out anything, conquer anything through understanding the roots. Okay, very good. Yeah, I do remember that now. Thank you. All right, let's go. I'm going to look up a scripture here. Hang on a second. Y'all, let me look up count yourself equal. Okay, I'm going to give you a scripture here. Okay, here's a scripture. I think I'm smarter than all y'all. Not really, you know, I'm kidding. All right, Philippians 2, 5, 8, and 9, 11. The Message version says, think of yourselves the way Christ thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of the status no matter what. All right, now, okay, I think we got somewhere with that maybe. In the Bible Hub version, it's like, who being in very nature of God, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Equate, equal. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. Okay, I don't know. I'm sorry, Daniel. I hope that doesn't mess you up. I'm sure it won't, because you're a smart guy, a wise guy, a wise person. All right, I'm moving on here, y'all. How's it going? 402-650, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha. And, Melly.
And what?
And Melissa.
Oh, Melissa, okay. All right. Yes, thank you for John and Melissa. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the what he savors. You know, Jesus told Peter, he said, you savor not the things of God, but the things of men. So so we look at what we savor. Let's look at the word savor, because we kind of know what savor means. Let's look it up. It's what we have a taste for. Savor meaning. Here we go. Let's get a savor, what taste, yeah. That's it. You can say for like food, what taste, have a taste for good food or drink and enjoy it completely. Gourmets will want to savor our game specialties. I'm trying to, some of the things that I'm getting from that are like, wow. The subtle savor of wood smoke. All right. A characteristic taste, flavor, or smell, especially a pleasant one. All right. So he told Peter, you know, you savor not. So I'm not saying you don't savor the things of God or man, but it's what do we savor? It's what do we think our taste? God is, okay, there you go. God is doing something with your taste buds and your quality of what do you think's important? You know, what's important with you? And that's what he was telling Peter. He said, you know, right now you think what's more important is your Jewish teaching on, you know, that I'm not supposed to die on the cross because they taught you this and you believe it and you favor them more than you favor what I say. So he was favoring, had a taste for what he was raised with the Jewish belief system that the Messiah, when he comes, would not die on the cross. That would be a curse, but he would rule on the throne of God forever. And Jesus rebuked him and said, you're not, you know, you're savoring the things of man, not the things of God. Because he'd been raised like that, right? And that was the word of God. And it was true, but it was true for the future, not for that time. And so So what do you? So God opening up your ability to savor the right things, to have a taste for the quality things of God, for the quality things of life. Because God made life, you know, we see in the Garden of Eden that God made life high quality. So, you know, what do you have a taste for? What do you savor? What do you what flavors really make you, you know, hungry and you know thirsty? What do you really like? What do you enjoy? And so God's really gonna help you with that and show you how to savor the things that be of God, not just the things that men have taught. It's kind of been a theme tonight. What are we savoring, the things of men or the things of God? Are we going to the Word of God and finding out what the Word of God says about things? Or are we just going like, well, my daddy said this, and he was a good man, so he left. So you even more in tradition, like Peter was at the time, until he changed later. Because later on, he definitely savored the things of God. But he had to go through some brokenness, and Jesus telling him that he didn't savor the things of God, but of man, and then he denied Jesus, and then his taste buds changed because he realized that what God had for him was, like he preached the day of Pentecost. I mean, that was an amazing thing. So because obviously he changed in what he savored, and yet he still wasn't a perfect man. So thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa, God, that they what they have a taste for, what they believe in God for, what they believe, where do they get their where do their sources come from men or from God, or from men of God. If it comes from men of God or women of God, that's different. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord," because Paul savored the things of God, and because he did, you know, he taught things that were unusual, that were difficult. They thought sometimes he was a little bit, you know, because he was just so, you know, completely inundated with the Word of God, and it was his quality of life was according to the Word, not according to tradition. Because the whole thing with him was he was steeped in tradition because he was a Pharisee, a good Pharisee, a good man, really, a good religious man. He wasn't a hypocrite, and so God changed his flavor on everything. And so he had to break traditions of men. He had to do a lot of things. And yet he dove into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit helped him. Anyway, so there you go. So savoring the things of God, because when we savor the things of God and not just the things that are half man, half God. Oh, there you go. Could you imagine having a creature that's half man and half God? What would that be like? Jesus was full man and full God. You know, could you imagine being like a weird creature that's half man and half God? What would that look like? I don't think it'd be very good. So we need something that's fully God, and what's fully of God will make us full men, will make us men that were full of God. So thank you, Jesus, for that fullness, that understanding, the wisdom you've given him, God, on the taste and the flavor he has for life, how he deals with life. Does he deal with it from the Word of God, or does he deal with it from his own common sense? Or to do with it from the root system of the Word of God. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. God, bless them, God, and open them up, Jesus. And teach them your ways, God, so that their taste buds can be, you know, want the steaks of heaven, so to speak, the precious things of heaven, the things that are precious, the gold and silver and the stones that, you know, from heaven, or the things of earth that have thorns and thistles and hay and stubble. What do we want? What are we looking for? What are we going for? And I thank you, God, you're showing them and drawing them into that place of high quality of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 303-386. You want to talk to me something?
Hey, Randy, it's Mike from Pennsylvania.
It's what name, Mike?
I'm Mike.
Mike, oh, amen. All right, Mike, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Mike. We thank you, Lord, for those things, God, that we seem to be a vein tonight of where we get our revelation from, you know, and what are we living by, you know. We live and move and breathe and have our, let's see, what did I say? Here we go. We live and move and breathe. There's a scripture there. Hang on a second. We live All right, here we go. Acts 17:28 says, "We're in him. In him we live and move and have our being. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Okay, God intended that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, being offspring of God, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone or image formed by man's skills and imagination. All right, that's very interesting. Where did we go in there? I don't know exactly, but thank you, Jesus. He was talking to Areopagus. Stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens," oh, he was in Athens, "I perceive that in all things you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives all life, breath, and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the earth." Anyway, I don't know what that's about exactly, except it's like what Paul did is he took an image, some things that were just obviously not God. These people didn't know who they were serving. They didn't know anything about God Almighty. And he goes in and he had the wisdom, he was walking out the land, I think, basically. And he walked through this, he saw that this inscription to the unknown God. And he took that and he used that to preach the gospel to them. He got them to think. He used their own gods. Watch this, man. He used their own gods and the things they believed, and used it to get their attention to turn into the living God. The wisdom that God gave Paul. Paul is a shrewd man also. I'm seeing all the shrewdness of all the men of God that were very shrewd. And the shrewdness, when your shrewdness is mixed with your motives are right, harmless as a dove, harmless as a lamb, whatever you want to say, that motive and intention, it gives you the ability to take anything, and that shrewdness is able to do, take anything and turn it out for God. And Paul did that. He had the wisdom to do that. Paul took to the shrewdness of the Holy Spirit and the stuff he had gone through and learned. He wasn't afraid to go in there and say, "Oh, to the end." Most people would have walked by the throne of God and they said, "I find that devil in the name of Jesus. Come out, you unknown God, devil. I speak belief. I speak," you know, whatever. That's how most people would be dealing with that these days. But not him. He says, "Oh, cool, inscription on that, to the unknown God. Woo. Therefore, you know, let me tell you who this God is. I met him. Let me tell you about him. He's awesome." And so he took this whole thing, instead of just, you know, making it all about, you know, you bunch of idol-worshipping devils. You know, he took it and he knew that they were very religious. He said, "I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship," which most people would be going, "I'm fine." You know, it's not that he didn't take authority of them, but it's that he said, you know, how can I evangelize these people? And he used one of their own descriptions from their own objects of worship type thing, and he took it type thing and used it for the God's glory and became so. I thank you, Lord, for that evangelist part of my God, that he can be able to take things and use things to turn people to Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I don't know. That was took me a little bit to get that one. All right, 612-805. Who would talk to you from, please? 612-805. Are you there? All right, you're going to give me a break. I got to take a break for a minute here. It's Joyce from Minnesota. Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
All right, I'm back, and I think we have Joyce. Let me check one more time, make sure they're there. All right, 612-805, you there? 612-805?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce.
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry, Joyce. Okay.
If you could pray for my...
Hey, Joyce.
Hi.
Say it again, please. Hi.
Yeah,
how are you?
Joyce and Blossom, and also... Yeah, I'm doing fine, sorry. And also, if you could pray for my mom, Lily. Yes,
yes,
please.
Okay, for Lily and...
Thank you so much.
And, okay,
Blossom.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lily and Blossom, okay.
Blossom, yeah.
All right. I had a hard time hearing you on that, so... Lily and Blossom. All right. And Joyce, and that's all I heard, so I hope I'm doing good there. Okay, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Lily, God. We pray for Lily tonight, Joyce's mom. Well, we just ask you for your favor with her, God, that she will be blessed and that her heart will glory in you, Father, and find peace and rest in you, Jesus, for everything that she's going through. And encourage her, God, give her strength to, you know, make it through every trial and every tribulation, every sorrow, everything that she goes through in the love of God, in the power of God. And thank you for Lily, God, that you're opening her heart, God, to pray like she's never prayed before. And to find God in ways she's never found God before, that she will discover new things about God like we all do, that she will discover new things about you, Father, and learn new things about you, Jesus, and be able to see like Moses, even though he'd seen all those great things from God, he got up in the mountain. He said, okay, God, when I'm here, why don't you show me your glory? So I thank you, Lord, that you're showing Lily your glory, God, in Jesus' name, and showing her new parts of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I pray for Blossom tonight, God. I think for Blossom, God, you're giving Blossom that maturity, that she's maturing, growing up in you, Jesus, to serve you, to love you, to know that, God, you understand every desire, every passion, every feeling that she has. You understand it all. You've been through all these things with all kinds of people, and you understand what they need. You understand what a girl needs to bring satisfaction to her heart, that she will find love, Father, in you, Jesus, first, and then find it in other people a second, God, that we love the Lord thy God first, and then we're able to love people correctly. When you love God with all your heart first, then you can love people correctly. And that's the thing that we all battle with, is keeping our heart in love with Jesus, in love with God, so that when we love other people, whether it's our parents or, you know, friends, whatever it is, that we will love them correctly. We'll love them and be able to speak the truth to them because we love them. Be able to communicate with them because we love them. Be able to take trouble from them not agreeing with us on things, and yet we still love them. And love is so powerful and important, God. And thank you for Blossom in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for Joyce, God, tonight. We thank you, Lord, for blessing Joyce, God, give her your freedom to be able to do whatever she needs to do when she needs to do it. Open that up for her, God, and where she can have that freedom, Father, to be able to do whatever she needs to do, whatever she wants to do, and in Jesus' name, and be able to be a part of whatever she needs to be a part of without any restrictions. God, we thank you, Lord, for the total liberty you've given Joyce to walk with you and to live with you and to obey your word and to serve in your kingdom, God, and be a blessing. Father, that's her heart's desire, and I thank you for giving the strength and the wisdom to do that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. I hope I did good on that. I think I prayed for everybody there. 769-220, I think this is. Oh, 769-220, this is. Okay. All right. I think it's Andrika and Chris. Sometimes she texts me and says she's going to be on tonight. She might be asleep because she's got to get up early in the morning. Thank you for that, Andrika. Yeah, Andrika did. Please pray for Andrika and Chris. I may be asleep. Yes. Okay, we got you. Got you covered, girl. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrika and Chris. God, we thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your blessing, God, that they will never compromise in any way. They know that if one thing doesn't work, something else, you always have a way to pursue. Sometimes the enemy tries to knock us down with, you know, things that we're not sure of, or we don't have, you know, confidence about things, but he will take it, and we, as we keep our eyes on him, he will take it and meet our needs in ways that surprise us. And because the enemy, once he tries to get our eyes off Jesus, but Jesus, the Holy Spirit's always trying to keep our eyes on him. As long as we got our eyes on him and don't look to the storm, don't look to the troubles, don't look to the thing, and keep our eyes on Jesus, then he finds a way, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Where the ways of men fail us, the ways of God never will fail us, not ever, not once. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are a good God, and you're, and she knows that, and Chris knows that. Chris knows that God is a good God, and that what he does will be good for them. What he's doing will work even greater than what they even dreamed or thought of. And that the purposes of everything that work the way they do, that there's a purpose in it, that God opened their eyes, let Chris see, and let Andrea see the purpose of everything you're doing, God, the glory, the majesty, the breakthrough, the benefits that you have for them, God, that are not dependent on man, but are dependent on God. And Lord, I thank you that they have their eyes on you, Jesus. And because they do, hallelujah, it is truly, truly the way to go. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. All right. Okay. 402-214. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Hi, Randy. It's Cher. This is New York.
Hey. All right. Good to have you tonight. Sharon, thank you, Lord, for sharing tonight, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for her trusting your power, God, that it's not about the power of man or the influence of people, but it's the influence of God, the influence of the Holy Spirit, that all things are possible with God, that we always trust God, no matter whether we've been perfect or failed or been done everything perfect. It doesn't matter. God is gracious. God is kind. And he has a way where there seems to be no way. And I thank you, Jesus, that her eyes are upon you, trusting you, Jesus, and looking to you. And because of that, God, you're not going to disappoint her, Father, in Jesus' name. But as she trusts you, as she believes in you, Father, and shows her you're showing her your power, your love, that in past testimonies, like when David went through a hard time, he always went back and remembered about the lion and the bear, the times that God came through and the times that, you know, he didn't have those experiences every day, but with the ones that he had that he really remembered, you know, he brought them up when it came to fighting bigger battles. He said, I remember the day that, you know, God and I took down that lion and that bear. It was amazing. It was miraculous. And he built himself up by remembering the things that God had done in his life and brought victory in his life. In Jesus' name. So I thank you that for sharing, God, that she will do that. You will help her Holy Spirit to remember. That's why Jesus said, do the communion, we do it in remembrance of him. Let us remember those things, God, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Amen. All right, 503-318. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I had to really, like, force it because she wasn't letting.
Yeah, 503-318. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Oh, hi, Randy. This is Robin from Oregon. And I have Nicole and Ryan here, too.
Hi.
Oh, hi, y'all.
Hello.
All right. Good to have you.
Hi. You're Oregon.
Nicole and Ryan. All right. Got you guys. Thank you so much. All right. As you know, we don't talk on Wednesdays. Yes, Nicole and Ryan, they're with you tonight, your daughter. Okay. All right, Nicole and Ryan. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole and Ryan. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole tonight. Your daughter, and we thank you, Jesus, God, for the freedom, God, that there's freedom they desire, to have freedom and liberty, God, that they can be free to do whatever they need to do, however they need to do it, God, that the true blessings of God liberate us to do the will of God, not just kind of what we want to do, but what we want to do when our hearts are in him, then we want to do what he wants us to do. It becomes our desire. We actually are desiring what God desires, and actually it's us that wants to do it, and we're thinking, oh, I wonder what God wants me to do when our hearts are hidden in him, given to him, that he gives us
his desires, and they literally become ours. So I thank you, Lord, for showing Nicole that at a deeper level in her life, God, that sometimes the answer to your voice is the desires that we have when we give our desires to you and you give us your desires. Your desires are the answer to prayer to what your will is. We desire your will. We actually want to do a certain thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her with that and opening her up to that, and God, in Jesus' name, to answer questions of about do I hear from God and what's going on with God and how do I know I'm here from God. Sometimes the Bible says he will give you the desires of your heart. How do you do that? When you yield to him, when you, you know, offer your life to him. I think it's Psalms 37, is it? Where it talks about that. Let me go there just for a second. If I can't find it real quick, I'm going to move on, but I think I know where that's at. Psalms 37. Okay, let me read this to you. My internet will go there. Yeah. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. I think we got it. I'm going to read this to you. I think God's going to plant this in you. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and then he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. It goes on and on. Don't fret because of him and prosper in his ways, but trust the Lord. Amen. Are the schemes of the wicked. We thank you, Jesus, for Nicole, God, opening her up to that, to your word and your relationship with you, that she obeys your voice in Jesus' name. And when she obeys your voice, it's found in the word of God, right? Amen. And I thank you for that. All right, Orion, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Orion, God. We thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given Orion to want to do things right, to want to be correct, want to get things to right, and what is right will please people. You know, not please people first, but that what is right will please. So that he will be able to present things in a way that people will want to do the right things, and they will be pleased to do it. They will be happy to. They will see that what is right is the best way, and they're going to go, yeah, we want to do that. But people will be pleased with what is right. In the book of Acts, it said that what the apostles did, it pleased the people because the people saw that what they were doing was God, and it was really from God. It wasn't from selfish motives of men, but it really was God, and they all were pleased with it. So I thank you, Jesus, for giving that balance to Ryan, God, where we will know that what's right with you pleases those who love you and want you and want to do the right thing. Those who don't want to do the right thing, they're not pleased with anything that God wants and what's right. But I thank you, Lord, for giving wisdom to Ryan to do. People will line up to it and realize that, hey, this is really the best thing. It's a God thing. God's inspiring him to do those things. Amen. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for Robin. Thank you, Lord, for Robin. Bless Robin tonight, God. I thank you for the peace, the passive understanding, where we understand things or not. It doesn't really matter. It's whether we know we're obeying God and doing what God wants us to do. And I thank you, Jesus, that we rest in the peace, that if we're doing what God says for us to do, then he's going to bring it to pass. There's not going to be any question. It's going to be. And so we trust in the Lord, thy God, and not just man. Man doesn't always understand the things of God. None of us understand it until God reveals it to us. And once he reveals his will to us, then we learn to stand with that and believe with that and don't compromise in it. And then eventually what we line up with God about will come to pass. It has to come to pass. Thank you, Jesus, for your favor in her life, God, giving her favor right now with the job situations and those things going on, Father, for the finances and for the favor, God, in those new places you're taking her. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done by your favor, Father, the favor of God, the grace of God, the unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, because we try to live off what we think we're doing perfectly right all the time, but it's really by the favor of God. And our works of obedience do it, but not just works in general, but doing what God says. We do that, then we have his favor. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, 662-806, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hey, Cynthia. All right, hi. Cynthia, good to have you tonight. Thank you for your help tonight on that. I think, I don't know where we ended up with all that, but I think we just kind of left it up to Daniel, but he'll get it. He's smart. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Cynthia tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her health, for blessing her, for making her strong, keeping her in your wisdom, God, in your favor, and learning how to fulfill the word of God in every area with what we eat, with what we drink, with what we do, with what we say, God, and that we're depending on your grace and your favor, not just necessarily whether we do everything perfect or not, but your grace and your favor. When we learn to rest in that, then eventually we find ourselves just yielding to God and not even knowing what we're doing because it just starts happening automatically. We yield, we don't even know it. We're just living our life. We're making decisions. We're doing things, and we don't even think, you know, nothing, we don't pray about it, but it's like, you know, we groan too hard over what's God's will. Sometimes we just, you know, relax and rest in him, knowing that he's going to lead us and guide us. And if we're making a wrong decision, he's going to show us. You know, so give her courage and strength, God, to go with what you've given her, or she will walk, understanding that she's walking in the pleasure of the Lord, that God is pleased with her because she's teachable, she's learning, she's growing, God. And because of that, it's like in a marriage. If a husband sees that the wife is stubborn and doesn't want to learn anything and she's right all the time and he's always wrong, then if it's always like that, and both the husband and the wife are both growing and both learning and both knowing that they can be wrong, then it gets messed up. Same thing with God. If God sees that we're, you know, willing to learn and grow, you know, man, it just gives, you know, strength and favor. We have favor with God because we're learning, we're growing. Thank you, Jesus, for that favor time, Father. She will relax more and learn how to enter into that favor that you just favor her because you're her daughter. You're her God and she's your daughter. There you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you with that, Father, right now, that ability to rest in you, Jesus, and trust you, God. You're going to work it out for good. And not to let the frustrations and the fretting that happens to all of us at times when things are, and the pressure's on, to teach her how to yield that and to let her enter into that peace that passeth understanding. Even though she doesn't understand it, it's like Mary said, even though I don't understand this, how am I going to have a child without a man? Okay, well, you know, I'm just going to trust you. And she trusted him, that purity, in Jesus' name. It was very beautiful. And she got, God blessed her for her obedience. It was wonderful. All right, 754-255. I'm going to talk to Ruth, please. In a second. All right, 754-255, are you there? All right, hang on a second here. Alright, I want to sing that song, Nothing is Impossible. When you put your trust in God, nothing is impossible. When you lean upon his word. Something like that. I don't even know that song. I don't know why that's coming to me, but whatever's going on with you, 754, that's kind of what God's saying. It's like nothing is impossible. So I thank you, Jesus, for giving my friend the courage and the strength to believe you, God, to know that you have a treasure box for them, that the key to that treasure box really has to do with how it's cut. And like I gave a word earlier tonight about how the keys of the kingdom are cut according to our obedience to him. So we overcome a trial and a tribulation. We conquer that. It cuts out a key, like the cutting of our, you know, our struggle, our battle. It cuts away at us, and we get tested and tried and cut. It's cutting a key. Like when you go to have your key made, it cuts a key. So I thank you, Lord, that place of suffering and struggle and winning the victory, God, that you're more than conquerors in Jesus' name, and that cutting that was going on was cutting the key for the kingdom in their life in Jesus' name, where they can open up the doors of treasures, open up the treasure door in Jesus' name, and be blessed with the treasures of God. That their hearts, that the heart of this my friend tonight, God, is in lay not up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. So, you know, everything we do as unto the Lord, knowing that we do it unto Him. Therefore, that's why we lay up treasures in heaven, because everything we do in obedience to Him. And that's how our treasures get laid up in heaven. In other words, where it's safe and protected, you know, even for here in the earth, it's safe and protected because everything we're doing it because of Him. In obedience to Him, therefore, He keeps us. The enemy cannot come in and do whatever he wants to, anytime he wants to. We are protected and kept in Jesus' name. Amen. The treasures, the keys. Cool. All right. Awesome. All right. 303-517. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Veronica from Colorado.
Hey, Veronica. All right. Okay. Hang on a second, Veronica. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Veronica, God. We thank you, Lord, for your love for her, Father, and that love around. I don't want to love. She craves that love, God. She craves love. And so I thank you, Jesus, that you're opening up those doors in her heart, God, to be able to see things. You know, to look at things the way Jesus looks at them, to see things through the eyes of God. When the Bible says He's opened up our understanding, He didn't open our understanding just to understand how to, you know, make a cake or something. But He opens up our understanding so we can see how He's looking at something. You know, how does He see it? How does He look at it? So when we see how He looks at it, Veronica, then we deal with it according to how God deals with it. And so that's what we have to do. And so that's having the eyes of understanding. And so we understand why, what, what's happening. And then God shows you how to reason things out. So when you reason things out, then that reasoning, you know, it's not just your reasoning, but it's a reasoning, you know, because you understand things. And so thank you, Lord, for that reasoning power, that she doesn't reason in her own intellect, God, but she reasons from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been talking about this lately, about how the Scripture says that if you, in the Old Testament even, it says if you hearken to the voice, most people think that the Old Testament is all about hearkening to the laws. But it says, He told Israel, He said, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, that, you know, these blessings will come on you. So when we reason out everything with what the voice of God says, of course, it then says to line up with the Word of God, that when you, whatever you're thinking, when it lines up with the Word of God, and when that happens like that, then we're successful. Then whatever we do, we'll be blessed. And the enemy can't stop anything from happening to us, right? Yeah, so it's reasoning things out. Sometimes we have to be shrewd. We're talking about tonight about how Joseph was a very shrewd person. And, you know, sometimes love is very shrewd. We're wise as a serpent and harmless as doves, right? Harmless as doves. That's the thing about being shrewd. If you're shrewd and your motives are not harmless, then it messes you up. If you're shrewd in wisdom and your motives are harmless as a dove, like Joseph's were, he was very tough on his brothers. He dealt very hard with them. He was trying to find out what their motives were, what their intentions were, and he put them under a lot of pressure. And what came out of them was they were sorry that they had persecuted him. They were sorry that they had done that to Joseph, and they didn't even know that Joseph was standing right there listening to them. But he deliberately and willfully, in a shrewd manner, put pressure on them to test them to see where their heart really was, because it was important. So sometimes God gives us wisdom on how to test people to see where their heart is, and because where their heart is important. And when we find out where their heart, God even did that to the children of Israel in the wilderness. He said, I took you through the wilderness to prove you, to see what was in your heart. Because it's what's in our heart, Veronica, that matters. And I thank you, Lord, that Veronica's heart is in yours, Jesus, and that you're going to show her how to reason things out according to the Word of God and the voice of God, in Jesus' name. And, yeah, and mix that with Joseph, what Joseph did with his brothers, to understand how to handle things.
Yeah, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible. When you hearken to his word. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't even know what the words are, but coming up in my spirit right now, nothing is impossible with God. Thank you, Jesus. Joseph had to do some really, tough dealing with his brothers. And when he found out they were sorry for what they did, truly sorry for what they did, then it changed. Anyway, so it's awesome. All right, 214-415, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Prophet Randy, it's Barbara from Texas.
Barbara. All right. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for the cunningness of the enemy, all the different things, the cunningness of the enemy, how he, just look at the word cunning. Okay. Cunning definition. Having or showing skill in achieving one's ends by deceit or evasion. A cunning look came into his eyes. Yeah, so it's like, when we see that cunning thing going on, we have to understand, that somebody's trying to achieve something through deceit or through evasion. That's what cunning means, having or showing skill in achieving one's ends by deceit or evasion. So it's almost exactly opposite of what we're talking about with it. Being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. This is like the opposite, cunning. So using deceit and, yeah. It's like achieving one's ends by deceit. So when we see people doing that, when we see that going on, we have to deal with it for exactly what it is. We have to cast it down. We have to deal with it, expose it. It's scheming. It's devious, sly, so as God shows you how to, you see it happening, and you identify that, of course, is the snake as the evil one, as the devil, because to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove is not being cunning. To be wise as a serpent, to be a serpent and be a deceitful, that's the devil. So it's sometimes it's hard to tell. We have to discern their motives. We have to discern their intentions. And discern what spirit are they listening to, and what's their, sometimes they can change, but we have to understand that what's going on in the heart, and in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, all right, to deal with it and to keep it at bay, not get entangled in that stuff. As you know already, there you go. All right, 240-482. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. All right, Valerie from North Carolina. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. Thank you for North Carolina. Now, we thank you for the atmosphere in her house and her home, God. We thank you, Lord, that to show Valerie how to open up the door. Sometimes, Valerie, I go through, I don't do it real often because just when I think about it, I actually thought about it just recently, about going through my house and doing a light anointing with oil and just kind of, and pray and bless it. Sometimes we have to go through and sanctify our house, even the yard and the trees and the grass. And then we just kind of go out and just kind of walk on and say, "Dear Jesus, we sanctify and set up our." I don't know why I'm telling you this, but to create an atmosphere where of the blessing atmosphere in your house, in the walls. I don't know if you've ever done it before. The Bible says, I've helped people do it many times. It gets a little bit of oil. Touch the walls real lightly in places where, don't we get oil everywhere. And anoint the windows and anoint the, the walls, basically, and just pray in Jesus' name. We cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for cleansing it, washing it. Any atmosphere that's not of you, God, that's oppression, depression, vexing, whatever it is, just I speak joy and peace. I speak the love of God in my household. And in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for showing Valerie how to do that. And even anoint your car and maybe your children, pray over them and sanctify them, set them apart, and declare and decree the presence of God to fill your house, to fill your family, to fill your finances, to fill your pocketbook, to fill your mind, in Jesus' name. And, I haven't told somebody that in a long time.
That's good. That's a good thing. I've actually been thinking about doing that with my house just recently. Just, you know, sometimes stuff just goes on in life. And sometimes you just clean, it's like having a spring cleaning. Go through and not really anything bad, but just, you know, getting a fresh smell, a fresh atmosphere. Yeah, in Jesus' name. So you realize the difference is amazing when you do that. So if you don't, so you'll figure out how to do that. If you probably already know how to do it. But, amen. And change the atmosphere. Create a new one. That's what I'm hearing. Amen. 951-966. You want to talk to me from, please?
Hi, Prophet. This is Regina.
Well, hey, Regina. All right, Regina. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. God, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of God, for her personal touch, God, that she has that real personal touch with her in Jesus' name, that maybe she doesn't realize it, maybe she does, that very personal touch, very, you know, you have this amazing ability to be very personal. You have that personal touch to let people know that you're there for them, and that when you're in their life, in their atmosphere, it's like, you know, it's about you, I'm here for you, I'm here to bless you, and that's a great gift that you have. And God's going to increase that and multiply that and bring, you know, the presence of God in that, of course, is already there. But it's like God's going to increase the presence of God in how personal he is with people so that he's using you to fit his personalness with them where they get the personalness of Jesus through Regina and that personal touch and that personal love and that personal word, that personal friendship. And just, you know, and sometimes we get so used to it, we don't realize how strong it is. But I thank you, Lord, for releasing a new anointing on that in her life, God, and give her a raise, get her blessed, get her a financial raise, get her, bringing blessings to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, because of the your obedience to God and being personal with the Lord and being, you know, that personal relationship and that personal fellowship and that personal friendship, bringing friendship to people. Just by a simple, you know, we had to spend hours and days with people, but it's like a simple, sometimes a few little words that from the spirit of a person who's very personal, as that anointing, really impacts people in a major way. And I thank you, Lord, for that in her life in Jesus' name, where you multiply that and increase that and let the healing virtue of Christ flow through her, let that courage of the Lord flow, that she'll be able to give people courage to stand strong and make decisions and be able to do the right thing. Amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Cool. All right. 864-313. Who am I talking with, please? 864-313, you there? Okay, hang on a second here. All right, 864-313, you there? All right, let's pray over them. I don't know who that is. All right, 864, are you there? All right, thank you, Lord, for 864-313, whoever that is. Thank you, Jesus, for finding favor, God, in the financial places, to find favor with financials and how to deal with money, how to get the blessing of money in your life, where, you know, the financial arena in your life is opened up through God's favor, because you're learning how to please him. You know, faith, the only way we can please God is through faith. And I thank you, Lord, for the financial area in their life, God, that they will find how to please God by faith. We only please God is only pleased by faith. That's the only thing he's pleased by is by faith. And of course, faith, hope, and love is the greatest. But we thank you, Jesus, that faith, you know, when God tells us to do something, then we do it. And when you do it, well, I can trust you. I know that you're going to do what I ask. And so his favor comes upon you, and then he starts blessing you because he knows that you're going to do what he says, even if it seems to cost you, even if it seems to, you know, make you a little nervous, like, okay, God, I'm going to step out here. I'm going to, by faith, and I'm going to trust you because you're telling me to do this or giving me, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. So that's what pleases God. Jesus said, my mothers and brothers, those that hear the word of God and do it. Faith without works is dead. So when we step out in faith and do what God says, he opens up his favor for us because he trusts us. You know, we have that fellowship with him about trust. It's not just about reading the word and not doing it. It's about listening to his voice, doing what his voice speaks to us from the word and by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that new anointing, God, to discover how to obey you in every area of our life, every area of their life in Jesus' name, where they find themselves doing the simple things are easy and the hard things are even easier because they've lined their will up with you, Jesus. When you line your will up with God, then like Jesus did, not my will, but your will be done, he was able to go do the most brutal thing that any human being could go through simply for one thing he did. He lined up his will with the will of God. He had some other ideas of what might be better. He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He lined his will up. Even though he had some other desires, other things, he lined his will up with God. And because he did, he was empowered with the power that no man could ever endure what he endured. And yet he did it because his will lined up with the will of the Father. So thank you, Lord, for my friend to help yield their will to the will of the Father in Jesus' name and find themselves with the courage and strength to do the things they need to do that will please you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Wow, what a great night tonight. And really, really awesome. I think that's it. I think my last caller, well, I got more callers there, but they don't have a hand up. So if you don't get your hand up pretty quick, I'm going to call it a night tonight. And thank you for the blessing of God that you've been tonight and for drawing on the faith of the Lord Jesus through, the servant of the Lord. And we're so grateful for the way the PGN people and those, even some of our new people coming in, love God and want his word. They want his will more than anything, and when you're willing to do that, God's going to use you in ways that you'll never know. That will be amazing, absolutely amazing. But line your will up with the will of God, and suffer what you have to suffer, whatever it takes. And so know that God gives us his favor, his unmerited favor, so that we can walk in his favor of being pleased with us because we do what he says, right? No matter what it costs us, no matter what's going on, that we do it. And when we do it, then he trusts us with more. That's how do you get more of anything? More anointing, more finances, more powerful prayers, more answers to prayers, more wisdom. How do you do that? By lining your will up with God. And he trusts you. When he starts trusting you, then he adds more to you. You do what he says, he adds more. He adds more, he adds more, he adds more, he adds more. Amen. And even Christ, he laid down his life and for the Father. Because he did that, when he had some other ideas of what he might do, God blessed him, and now he's seated with God at his right hand. And we're seated with him in a heavenly place. And it is an amazing place to be. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. I got a caller here, 111. 111, who am I talking to from, please?
Hey, Randy, Jeff in Denver and Yuki in Thailand.
No way. She didn't go back to Thailand? What's wrong with that girl? Does she know that Texas or Colorado is a better place to be?
Long story.
Okay. We'll find out about it later. Okay, but we're glad of whatever's going on. All right, thank you. All right, we love you. I give you a hard time. All right, thank you, Jesus, for the restoration of all things, God, that you're working on the restoration of all things in ways that when Joseph got restored, it was all, he went through a really hard time. He was messed up by some people he trusted, and on it went. And, he did his best, and they just knocked him down, and yet at the same time, God was working something. And then finally, it came to that restoration time. And I thank you, Lord, for that restoration spirit that not only are you going to restore them. See, the one reason God's going to restore you, Jeff, and you, is because he's going to use you to bring restoration. You know, he's going to use you to bring restoration. He restores people like he restored Joseph to use Joseph to bring restoration. That's what he did. So he does it in you. He restored Joseph. Joseph went through all the stuff, and then one day he restored him. And then he used him when he got in that place and position that he was in. And he was used to restore, really he saved the earth basically by storing up that food for 7 years of plenty. And when he did that, you know, then he brought restoration, right? He brought restoration. He saved the lives of his own family, saved the lives of all of Egypt and most of the world. Most of the world came to Egypt for food because there was no food anywhere. And yet there was one guy then that had been restored by the Father, and now because he was restored, he had an anointing of restoration to bring God's people into restoration. And I thank you, Lord, for that. You're doing no matter what's going on there, God, you're bringing restoration for Jeff and you, God, in Jesus' name, and nothing but that. So do we suffer things? Absolutely. But you know what? The purpose of learning how to keep our focus on Jesus and learn from everything we go through. And the more the devil comes against us there's different things that go on. Part of it is what the devil brings against us. Some things we learned, it's our mistakes. So when we're willing to admit and learn and grow, then we never fail to be successful. Because every successful person that I've read about, most of them, you know, they like the guy who created, you know, the light bulb. Edison, I mean, he learned from his mistakes. He kept changing it until he got it. And then when he got it, it's like, boom, wow. Now the whole world, has his product. And so thank you, Jesus, for that, for the spirit of restoration. And Jeff's life, God, we thank you, Jesus, for that, for Yuki. And that's what you're doing. And as you restore them, just like you restored Joseph, then Joseph was used to restore because he understood that the anointing that restored him was the same anointing that God was going to use to restore, you know, basically the earth. And so it's really awesome. Really, really cool. All right, let's go here, 863-808. I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, this is Cheryl. Equal means uprightness and equity and evenness in Hebrew.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I hope Daniel heard that. Thank you very much for that. I get words, as you know, I appreciate that. I get words, you know, and I just I'm so used to making a fool of myself anyway. I just kind of do it anyway. And I don't always understand what it means, but pray for Ryan and Austin. Yes. I thought you were through. Pray for Ryan and Austin, of course. And thank you, Jesus, for that whole thing, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that. For the spirit of glory, God, the spirit of glory, what the spirit of glory does is it causes people to, that no matter what goes on with them, that God turns everything out for good. You know, what mistakes they made, like Joseph, you know, like different people, Abraham is probably the one who made more mistakes as far as they were obvious. I don't know if Joseph made a lot of obvious mistakes. He did, you know, really good, actually. Maybe his youth kind of got him in trouble, but God used that at the same time. So even his youthful mistakes, God used it for his glory. So it's all about the glory. And so Abraham, you know, God told him, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. Don't worry about anything. And what did he do? First thing he did is he worried about it. They're going to get me. They're going to kill me. So he hid behind Sarah, basically, kind of halfway lied about that, you know, with an intention to save his life, which means he didn't listen to what God told him. But yet, you know, God was faithful to him and said, hey, you know, he understood that Abraham was going to not understand it at first. So God tells us things, and then he works it into our life in spite of us, you know, because we're all growing and learning, and we, you know. So he turns everything out for his glory. Like he walked out richer and blessed, more blessed than ever, even though he was the one who brought the curse on Pharaoh because, you know, he was afraid he was going to lose his life. And, you know, he Pharaoh was cursed. Because of what Abraham did, you know, compromise and not understanding things. But God knew all this stuff, right? And so he used it for his glory to bless Abraham. So Abraham walked out of there with his wife, not being touched, and with a lot more, a whole lot more. So thank you, Lord, that with Cheryl and her family, God, that you're going to bring, you know, for the glory of God, you're going to reveal your glory. Revealing your glory means, you know, God's going to get the glory for everything. He's going to work his glory into everything, No matter what it is, he's going to work his glory into everything. So when Moses saw God's glory, you know, he was amazed. And so, God, I thank you for showing Cheryl your glory, God, and how you work things, and how you do things, and how we recover things, how things are recovered by your glory. And Jesus, because, you know, you are the greatest teacher of all. You're the most gracious, kind, loving Father, and yet you're a businessman, and your business side is like, you know, you don't do what I say, you're not going to get blessed. I mean, that's just it. But at the same time, you know, when we, as far as not the business side of God, but the side of God where we're learning and growing, you know, he goes like, yeah, you're learning and growing. So, you know, he's just kind of like, everything's a teaching. Everything is getting us graduating from school and getting us out into the world where we can, you know, bring glory to God in everything we do. So about the glory, teach her about the glory, God, what the glory is about, how the glory causes us to, you know, repent of things that, you know, we thought we were supposed to go do this, and I thought I was going to be a heathen evangelist, right? I had to repent of that. I had to turn. I returned from that and went to, you know, being what I do now. You know, it was just, I sometimes I still think that it would be cool to be, you know, be a heathen evangelist. I love it. But this is what God called me to do, and so I'm happier, I feel safer, I feel, but I had to turn from that, and it was, you know, but anyway, so God worked it out for his glory in Jesus' name and positioned me and all that for his glory. So it's all about God positioning with his glory, because that's what his glory does. It takes anything and everything. If we just be willing to listen to him, willing to change whatever he tells us to change, if he wants to change it, and do it, and then his glory gets in it. And so I thank you, Lord, for the boys, for Ryan, and for Ryan and Austin. We thank you, Jesus, for Ryan and Austin, God, that you bless them and keep them, and Lord, that just like when Abraham dedicated his children to God, you know, the same anointing came on them. They had to make their own decisions eventually for him, but when they did, the glory of God was on them. And even their mistakes and their failures, God worked it out for good, just like he did Abraham. It's the same thing. You know, we're all making mistakes. We're all going to, you know, we're human beings. We're learning. We're growing. We don't do everything perfect. And that's why the glory's there, to teach us. You know, even when we sin, you know, the glory's there to teach us through that. God is not a condemner. He doesn't condemn us for things. He uses it if we'll get it right with him, whatever, and then he turns it for our glory, right? So it doesn't matter what the thing is, death, hell, the grave, you know, troubles, things we mess up on purpose, things we mess up by accident, something we mess up, we're innocent, we didn't know what we're doing. It doesn't matter what it is. The glory of God, he works it out for his glory. And I thank you, Jesus, for that with Ryan and Austin, God, in Jesus' name, that same anointing like on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that like Cheryl, Ryan, and Austin, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that same thing, that blessing being passed down, that each of them will take the blessing of God upon themselves and realize that, you know, doing life without God, it just doesn't work very well. You know, it's not all perfect. We're not perfect, but it works. It doesn't work very well without God. And I thank you, Lord, that that's the main thing you're showing them, God, that they will give you the glory, give you the honor, give you the praise, learn to trust you, just like Abraham learned to trust God, just like I learned to trust God, just like everybody learned to trust God. We all have to learn. Yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for opening that up. And perhaps at church, it was about the glory. Oh, wow. So Cheryl's saying that things are slowly turning. I was asked to prophesy at church, and it was about the glory. Wow. It's present. Wow. Very cool. I didn't know that. So awesome. Yeah. So you can see that's what God's doing. And so men will look at us like, you know, whatever, but we don't care what people look at us like, right? For the most part, you know, we know that in leadership we're held accountable, that kind of thing. But carnal leadership, carnal people, who cares what they think? And so, you know, when we watch what God does, God turns everything out for his glory, everything. So we thank you, Lord, for that word. Wow, very cool, very great job. In Jesus' name. Uh-huh. Yes. We do pray blessings over every marriage, every single person. We pray blessings over everybody. People are texting me right now about that. So yeah, we thank you, Lord, for that, and we pray blessing, Jesus, for your people, God, that we begin to reason out things according to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you just read the Word and don't get the impression and don't get the interpretation or whatever or what it means, you know, from the Holy Spirit, then it's worthless. Right? So we thank you, Lord, that you give us interpretation of the Word, that we reason from not just from the Bible or the law, but we reason from how the power of God, the Holy Spirit, quickens those words. It shows us this is what this means for you. And then we move with that, then God works everything out for his glory, for his honor. Amen. All right. Thank you for helping me out tonight, everybody. It's been awesome. Great night. I'm really working on my brain thing, and I think it's really really working. I mean, I'm surprised at some of the stuff. Parts of my brain are just the same as always, but there's some parts of my brain that are expanding. It's hard to explain expanding, but opening up, you know, that seem like they're closed. And of course, I have no proof of it, but just accept what's happening to me. Really amazing, really awesome. And one of these days we'll share about it, but until then, you know, just reporting in on it once in a while, letting everybody know. All right, I think that's it for tonight. Y'all, we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part. Thanks for your encouragement. Everything you do to encourage and build up this outlet that we have, that God is blessed. Amen. And we're so thankful for every person, every host we have, every person who prays and believes God and obeys God, and whatever level, whether you ever give anything or haven't given anything, doesn't matter. We appreciate your love and your compassion and your love for the ministry of the Holy Spirit here at PGN. So thank you for that. And God bless you. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it tonight. I think that's it. All right, good night.